What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hello, this is Chi.
This is Minnie.
And Emilio.
All right. Another episode for you. We are again live on Twitch, twitch.tv/digital_logic, logic with a K. Rolls right off the tongue. We got our new mugs here, courtesy of Diplo. Thank you. Showing those off on stream.
Yeah, cheers, guys. And thank you very much for sponsoring these amazing mugs.
I've found that it holds more than just coffee. I've put different things in here, whiskey, heroin. It all works.
That's a lot of heroin, dude.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to fill it all the way up.
Okay.
Psychopath.
You guys want to read them? Read what the mugs say? I think they're pretty.
Yeah, we have custom quotes on there.
You really want to get into what my mug says?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's, like that's personal to me. We've gone over twice.
Oh, I know,
personal.
I know. So, yeah. All right. So, Bobby, what's on your mug?
It's a bunch of ones and zeros. What I like about this mug, though, is the inside is black. So you don't really know what you're drinking inside. It makes the waters very murky.
And you don't know if it's clean or not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's binary because no Bobby's idea. A robot.
It's like a blind taste test every single time you take a sip. It's pretty cool. I like it a lot. And then, Emilio, let's get on to what yours says.
But it played out so well because I was like, Sam's like, what are these? And I was like, read it. And then she goes, Diplo. She went like, she started over five times and she's like, are you going to tell me what I was pronounced? So I was like, please read the rest of it.
Uh-huh.
And it says, no, I don't know how to pronounce it either. So it, like, she played right into hilarious. It as if it was a commercial.
Yeah. And then for me, mine says, and this is a very controversial quote. Previously, it's a snippet that should have been cut from the podcast, but did not. And it's from the time I was raging about boys peeing sitting down. And I said, I don't shit standing up, so don't pee sitting down.
Yeah, and there's like, I don't see like the prejudice against guys peeing while sitting down. I did that today and I was thinking about you.
For me, it was, it's probably more of a personal feeling against it. You know, if somebody who has a certain mannerism kind of, you know, does you wrong, you kind of have a grudge held against it.
And are you talking about astrology
time,
on a gaming
podcast?
This one
time I walked into,
who hurt you?
And only time I ever walked in on an ex-boyfriend who likes to pee sitting down a majority of the time.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. He was like the only ex-boyfriend I actually regret.
Okay.
And the next time he pees sitting down, I hope his dick hole touches his shit water.
That's happened. It sucks.
Oh, that's disgusting.
You have a huge dick, dude. Or high toilet water.
And points on that one.
So the reason I do is like when I'm on the phone and I just like don't want to stop what I'm doing, but I need to pee. So I'll just like sit down and like do what I'm doing on the phone and I'll just continue peeing because I don't want to stop and like hold my dick with one hand and look at the phone with another hand.
I don't.
Well, plus you got to do the quarter turn if you do that because you don't want to drop your phone into the toilet.
That's good thinking, man. That's really good thinking.
I'm very brave. I with both hands, I continue on my phone and I just piss.
You just let
like
the
flops right in.
You just let the piss fly. You have auto targeting like mode.
Yeah,
on your dick.
My dick has the gravity to hold. I know where the pee hole is.
Dude, I can't even like not hold my dick while I'm sitting down. Because sometimes...
Not hold my dick. Oh, because it might get crazy?
Like push it down sometimes.
Never mind. Like, you have a tiny dick, man. It's mini. Oh, it's all making sense now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's move on.
So, yeah, we're
going to start.
We're going to be moving on to a segment that I want to get started. It's going to be... What did we say? It was our time of the month. So what I want to do is the first podcast of each month, I want to talk about the games that are coming out for the starting month. So of February... We have quite a few games that are actually worth talking about.
That's awesome.
Bobby, you're going to have to be fast on the fingers here because we didn't prep this.
Well, hopefully they're on Steam.
So the first one is coming out. I did this in a chronological order. We Were Here Too. This one actually already came out. Came out on February 2nd. And Chi, you've already played this game?
I played the first one, We Were Here, and I'll go deeper into how that experience was. The first We Were Here is completely free on Steam, mm-hmm. and then We Were Here 2 just came out recently, and we'll dive in deeper to that.
Okay. So this game, yeah, it looks like a co-op game, but you're kind of separated by rooms completely, so you have to communicate with each other to try to get out of the rooms. And
it's strictly a voiceover communication puzzle solving game. So even though you play co-op, you don't actually see your partner. You have to work together. It's almost like that one bomb game. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
keep talking and nobody dies.
Right. Yes.
And it's similar to that.
So when I read the description, I looked at this, it looks so much like a physical escape room that you do in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they start you in two separate rooms and you have to like yell at each other or like pick up a phone and talk to each other. What do you see right here? Oh, I see a red door and it's painted black and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it has a number 3 on it. I know
it's actually a lot of fun. So
yeah, this is like, if it's anywhere as fun as escape rooms, like I'd totally be down for this. How much is this? Do we know?
This one is $10.
And that comes out when?
It came out already, the 3rd.
Let's do it.
The 2nd. No,
let's do it. We can't do it here.
On sale for $8.49 right now.
Second game being Octageddon. Like, this game, it piqued my interest because I thought it was, it's created by the same people who made Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, nice.
And I had a lot of fun with this game.
Wait, that was PopCap, though, right?
I think it was published by PopCap.
Oh, I see.
But like the team that made that game.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay.
So this game actually looks like a pile of crap, actually.
Okay.
It looks like a free-to-play money grab.
Right.
This
game that you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
It looks terrible.
So why'd you put it on here? Oh, I see.
Because like I thought it was going to be good. Like I just,
gotcha.
It looks like Katamari Damacy.
It has that for sure.
But there was also
Rolling Monster.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, like, you upgrade different arms, and your arms can do different things. Like, you have a swordfish arm,
this
crab arm.
This is so strange.
It
might be good, though.
It might be, but, like, seeing the game in action, it did not look fun at all. But another one is Rust. Rust is coming out of Early Access.
Dude, it's so weird that Rust and DayZ are coming out of Early Access this year, and, like, nobody gives a fuck. Yeah, anybody give a fuck?
Nobody cares because it's still going to be like really buggy. And they said it's coming out of Early Access, but don't think of it as a final release. Think of it as an alpha that's coming out of prototype. That's what the developer said. So there's like, it's still going to suck, but it's coming out of Early Access.
And finally, this is the game that assigned your race and gender based on your Steam name by some past code. It's like some sort of algorithm, that takes your letters and numbers and then applies them. And then, so you could be a redheaded female, or you could be a big dick black dude. You're naked, so you start with your dick.
We all know who I'm choosing to be.
You can't choose. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Based on Chaya LaBeouf, they're going to assign something to you, and you're stuck with that for the rest of your gaming days.
Really?
Chaya LaBeouf.
Based on my gaming history?
Yeah, being
your name. Chaya LaBeouf
my name.
Is turned into.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
Dynasty Warriors 9, you were saying last time that, you know,
can go straight fuck itself. I played part 8 and I played just like number 1.
Yeah, it's
hate it.
Dynasty
Warriors hated it.
Is, well, you like the first ones though. Like when
at the time, for
so
sure.
If nobody's played, or if you haven't played Dynasty Warriors, it's like you are a warlord and you're kind of like a god among men. You just go around destroying armies, but then you come up against other warlords that do have the potential to kick your ass.
Or in A Day in the Life in Vimilio. It's almost exactly the same.
It's just on Steam. I'm not finding it.
Dynasty Warriors 9 will be released on Steam, but it's not on the Steam thing yet.
Mm.
Next one being Kingdom Come. This is coming out on February 13th. Kingdom Come Deliverance is the new one. I believe this is going to be a port from from the console games. This one's going for a whopping $60, though. Now, it seems kind of like Oblivion-esque. Like, looks very Oblivion. Even, like, the graphics. It looks kind of older. But it is an open-world action RPG, if that's what you're into. If you're just looking for a new thing like that.
That's a heavy price tag for a not-known developer.
Yes,
well,
definitely.
If they say it's going to be anything like Elder Scrolls, I think the price tag would suit it because that's an amazing gaming experience, like open world game with plenty of content, driven like a well-driven storyline, and hopefully it's worth that ticket price.
Yeah,
definitely something that I would wait for reviews
for. Exactly what I was going to say. You definitely want to wait for
reviews. It might be worth it, but like, who knows if they pull everything you just mentioned off, Jake.
Right. I'm assuming like it's going to be like a mixed reception on this.
Yeah, probably.
That's just my thoughts. Another one, February 13th, Monster Energy Supercross. So I thought this was a really cool title. Like, I saw the title coming up, and I was like, is this going to be monsters riding motorcycles? Like, I love motorcycles. That's my thing. But then I looked up. It's just like a motorcycle game, supercross game, sponsored by Monster Energy. And I was like, oh, this doesn't look great. I haven't seen a price tag on this. I researched it, but it just looks mediocre at best.
Are there any good racing games on PC that aren't like standard racetrack games? Like, have you ever played any of the Dirt?
Dirt.
Do you like them?
Definitely,
I hear Dirt's
like
supposed to be good.
Yeah, I think Dirt's like the best PC racing game out right now. A lot of the
Dirt 3 is the most recent one, right? Dirt 3, I think.
I think you're okay. Right. But a lot of the good racing games are console exclusives, like the Gran Turismos and things like that.
They made a decent trailer. I mean, if those are in-game graphics, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, but yeah, it definitely looks like in-game. But next one being longest 5 minutes. This is
like this segment. Boom. Just joking, bro. You're doing
this
good.
This is a story-driven RPG.
I threw him off, guys.
Totally,
sorry.
Threw me off on that one.
I'm just joking.
Story-driven RPG. It's created by the people who made the Disgaea series, and Disgaea, they're very well-received games in their...
very popular PlayStation titles, RPGs back in the day.
Yeah, JRPGs, definitely. So the premise of this one being, like, the longest 5 minutes is you're trying to beat the boss in 5 minutes, but it's five in-game minutes, and everything you do takes a few seconds, like talking to people will take a few seconds, and the goal is to unlock your memories. You're trying to unlock... because you start the game in the final boss fight, and then as you progress through the boss fight, you try to figure out like where you came from, why you're fighting this boss, as well as remembering like your final moves, your special moves, and
you're playing a game backwards.
Yeah,
you're starting at the end and then working. That could be interesting.
So it looks interesting. It's very like pixelated graphics, very like Final Fantasy Super Nintendo esque,
right? Or maybe NES even.
Yeah, maybe even that. Next one being Secret of Mana. Now, this is something that I'm actually pretty excited
Speaking
for.
Speaking of pixelated JRPGs.
Yeah, this one's... have you played the Secret of Mana for Super Nintendo?
Yes,
I have. I think I played it all the way through.
Yeah, it's a...
It's an action RPG.
Yeah, it's a classic Super Nintendo RPG. It was very well received, and they're making they're remaking it in 3D graphics. So it's not just like an HD remake, but an entire revamping of the game. And that one looks pretty awesome.
So it's not only going to be upgraded in graphics, or is there going to be extension of the game material itself?
They haven't really released much information as far as that.
I bet they will, though. Yeah. To put this much work.
Price tag, I would think so.
Yeah, it looks like it's...
Was that $40, Bobby, you said?
Right. $39.99.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like in the vein of Final Fantasy III, how they like remade it for the mobile, and how they just completely redid the graphics. I believe Final Fantasy III is also on Steam. But they had like the old school like Super Nintendo ones, and then they remade it completely in like an HD 3D graphics. So it kind of looks the same as that. I think that might be Square's new niche, is like remaking games completely, because they were remaking Final Fantasy VII, right? Are they still on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just saw that there's a remake of like 12 or something, and I'm like, if you can redo...
They're coming out with the remake of 12 before the remake of 7.
And I was like...
Really?
I don't know. Yes. I guess they have their goals lined out.
With those remakes that they do, the general populace is not happy with them. Everyone has complaints about them. I didn't mind Final Fantasy III. You know, I don't play RPGs, but that was one of the few, probably the first RPG I ever played, and I played a lot of it. So when the remake came out, I didn't mind it so much. They changed some of the dialogue. They changed the graphics and everything. And I don't know. I was okay with it. A lot of people were very upset about it. But a lot of the other games that they have remake, there's like that 30 frames per second lock. There's graphical issues. Like there's been a lot of bad things when it comes to the Final Fantasy remakes. Hopefully Secret of Mana is not following suit with that.
And I want to say that Square's had its heyday, but I think 15 was really well received, right?
Yeah, it definitely was.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Final Fantasy 15. I think they should just stick with HD remakes, because they did that with Final Fantasy 9.
Yeah.
They released Final Fantasy 9 with HD graphics and fixed a lot of the bugs, and that was pretty well received.
And they don't metal with it. They just upped the graphics.
Yeah,
right?
They didn't change any mechanics.
What with Final Fantasy 12, you said?
Nine.
Oh, okay. Final Fantasy 9. Oh, that would be really nice.
No, they
already did it.
Oh, out of all of the Final Fantasies, Final Fantasy 9, I think, was probably one of the most underrated. It had a really good story. Yeah. The combat was very similar to what we were used to Final Fantasy wise. And then with Final Fantasy 12, a lot of people shit on that because it was just so completely different than what people were used to in terms of turn-based combat. Right. I played Final Fantasy 12 and I was one of the few people that really enjoyed it, only because I also played Final Fantasy 11 and a lot of it cross-translated to me. So it was an easy transition for me, where a lot of people back at that time weren't playing MMOs and weren't on computers if they were Final Fantasy fans.
Yeah. See, I'm a gatekeeping fanboy, so I don't like anything after Final Fantasy 9. Anything that wasn't on PlayStation 1.
But have you played them all?
I have. Yeah,
okay.
Them
all. Even 15?
Except 15.
Okay.
So, yeah, everything but 15. I even played the MMOs, and I didn't like anything past 9. But I'm just...
I think you should try 15. I saw Chad playing it. It looked pretty sweet.
Yeah. How hard are we going to get here? Like, what's a reasonable number to stop counting these things off? I mean, we're at, what, 15, 16? The latest one?
Oh, that's 15 by the numbered ones, but they have so many spinoffs, like Tactics, Chocobo's Forest.
Or X2 or whatever. Yeah,
12-2, I think they made.
12-2, yeah.
I don't mind that they come out with so many Final Fantasy games and the numbers, as you know, of course, the years increase, is because they have a good reputation going behind the name. When it comes to RPGs, in anyone's... is it repertoire the right word I'm trying to think of? You know, everybody holds Final Fantasy generally in a high regard. Not every single Final Fantasy title, but when you think of good RPGs, Final Fantasy is there.
It's one of the standards.
Like
it is, what do you call it? That's where the bar is set. You need to be better than Final Fantasy game in order to be known as a great RPG.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that statement. Definitely. Next one is Fae. This one's coming out on the Origin engine. Yeah. So you have to go buy through EA, which I hate EA, but they do some good things.
Fae spelled F-A-E?
There's some good stuff. Oh, sorry, F-E is what it is.
Just F-E.
Just F-E.
Fae.
And this is coming out on February 16th.
The Fae is this game about?
It's only a $20 title, and it looks really good. It reminds me of like Ori and the Blind Forest, but in 3D. So it's like very like dark environment, but like your characters and enemies are very bright lit. So it's easy to see things like
very, lot of artistic license taken with this. Like it's definitely a visually like, I don't know. Can we see a little bit of video, Bobby?
What is gameplay meant to be like? Do you know?
I've seen only a little bit of it. Like I think I've only seen this trailer and it's just like, you're like this little animal walking around, and you're trying to cleanse the forest, basically, just like Ori and the Blind Forest. Very
okay.
You know, just
so it's a 3D. It is adventure 3D. Game.
Yeah,
really cool.
Looks really cool.
Cleanse the forest. Yeah. So, does this have some sort of like you know?
Interesting enough, there was
keeping it green
in like, a clip. We just saw a giant. It looked like almost a deer, and that reminds me of Princess Mononoke's forest god.
Oh right,
it looks really cool.
Yeah, it's only a $20 game, so I'd say check it out. It looks well worth it, but we'll see how that turns out.
It's interesting that EA is Origin, right?
Yes.
Yeah, EA has this like side group of like, or I don't know how they do it. Yeah, they have these like, they almost have their own indie guys within, or they publish. I guess they publish for indie titles, but I think they also get exclusivity as well. So they kind of find them early. I feel like their indie titles that they've gone in with, almost all of them have been really well received. And I've liked a few of them. There's that, the one with the strings. What's that one?
You're trying to wrap the string around?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, man, I haven't played that since a long time.
And there's a few other ones.
Okay.
Some Child of Light, I think, is another one. That one was well received.
That one, that one's
good. Chad really liked that game.
All right, next game being Long Gone Days. This one, I wasn't actually able to get a final release date. The earliest I see is February 18th. That was through Google. But Steam says it's the fourth quarter of 2018, and the official site says it's March 18th. So February 18th, March 18th, that's what I see here. And this was a...
There's a certain JRPG theme going on tonight with February releases.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely there are. This one is kind of like a story-driven, more of a character-driven RPG. It's very story-heavy, not much gameplay. There is a bit, but it's... This was on Indiegogo, and they raised like $24,000 to get this game started. So people are interested in this game. It's very... The graphics remind me of, what was that game?
Metal Gear Solid to me. The first, well.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like the original Metal Gear.
The original Metal Gear, yeah.
Yeah, for the Nintendo, right?
Yeah, but looking better.
But yeah, I was going to say To the Moon and kind of like, you know,
there you
that whole type of.
A little better graphics than To the Moon.
So the premise of this is you are some kind of soldier and you're trying to wrestle with your being a soldier and killing people. That's basically what I've got from this. Wasn't able to find too much. Oh, we also have the Age of Empires, I believe. Like, Age of Empires 1.
HD, right?
Yeah, but this is Age of Empires 1. I don't know about this because, like, Age of Empires 2 was, like, better than 1 in every way. So I don't know why they're remaking 1 and redoing that.
Bobby, can you speak on this? Maybe they made enough money off of Age of Empires 2 HD?
I don't know why. I mean, these were very popular games, 1 and 2. 2 probably more. I can understand them making the HD remake. And I played that when it came out. It had some really big issues with the multiplayer, but overall, it was a huge success, in my opinion. Like, it was just, it brought back the feeling of the original Age of Empires. They left it alone enough to preserve that, and yet they updated the graphics and fixed a lot of the other things as well. But Age of Empires 1.
Did they have the whoa-lo-lo?
In the first one? I don't know, because that was just like the Romans, Carthaginian. Well, I didn't play 1. I played the expansion, like the Roman expansion, because it was free back in that day. At least part of it was free. And, you know, when I was that, there was no free-to-play when I was that age. So any sort of free game was like, I'm all over that. Mm. So I played quite a bit of that.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind a Age of Mythology remake, because that one was...
I don't know if that one needs a remake. They made some big changes when they went to Age of Mythology. The games got a lot shorter, at least the multiplayer ones. Mm-hmm. They had special units that had abilities. They kind of copied a lot from Warcraft 3, and I don't blame them for doing it. It made the game a lot better. But yeah, Age of Mythology is actually really good. Probably the last great Age of game. Like 3, not that great, in my opinion, but... Age of Mythology was good, but that one's still playable. And then they had the, what was the one that I actually have a embarrassingly large amount of hours in it? The online for Age of Empires Online. They made that one.
That's the really color, or like the cartoony one,
cartoony.
Right?
Yeah, oh. I forgot that yeah. existed.
Well, at first they...
Everybody did, Chi.
Well, nobody really knew about it because they fucked it up when they released it. They said, okay, well, if you want to buy like this unit, then you got to pay a microtransaction. And everyone was like, fuck you. And then eventually they're just like, all right, for like 20, 25 bucks, you can just get the whole everything. Game. And okay. by that point, everyone had stopped playing it or had forgotten about it. So it kind of killed it. But that one was pretty decent too. But it had the problem a lot of those 4X or RTS games where you could spend an hour doing something like a co-op mission with somebody, and then if you failed that, then you got nothing. You had nothing to show for it. Mm. So you could waste a lot of time with it. And it was all online. So it was like, I don't think there was really a storyline.
That sounds very punishing, yet. Yeah. And can end friendships.
Yeah. I don't know. I still kind of liked it, though. Like, I seriously have like 200 hours of that.
Holy hell.
Yeah. I've played a lot.
This is pre-podcast then, right?
Yeah, this is around 2011, I think.
But it how was does that compare to the hours you put into HOTS? Is there any way to track how many hours you have in HOTS?
Oh, no. I mean, nothing comes close to that.
Because I still suck at Dota 2, and I have over 700 hours in that game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at my Steam account and, like, by games played by hours, it's, like, in the top 5, which is really
what
weird.
Is?
Age of Empires Online.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
And it's a game that I barely even remember, like everyone else.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. Definitely.
That's embarrassing.
But yeah, I can't imagine like what your hours look like in HOTS, man. You know, 5 hours every day.
Yeah, not only that.
Years.
And then also about not Smurf having
time.
Right?
Like, I just don't have time for anything.
Got to make time. It might be more than World of Warcraft at this point. I don't know. That was a period of my life where I could have days where I woke up, played WoW, and then went to bed.
Like, the only thing about WoW is that it completely swallowed my adolescent years.
Yeah, I don't like talking about that.
EverQuest would start telling you years.
Yeah.
It would tell you years at the computer keyboard. It would tell you like 1.1 years.
That's crazy. I remember playing Guild Wars, the first Guild Wars, and that game would give you notifications like, hey, you've been playing for 6 hours straight. Maybe you should take a break. Like, it would tell you that. I'm like, oh, shit, I have been.
You know, there's laws in other countries. In the Korean and I think Chinese version of Heroes of the Storm, it pops up with a message that says, you've been playing this long. Maybe you should take a break. And then it has some advice on like healthy living. Especially in China, they censor a lot out there. You can't show a lot of gore.
Yeah.
So a lot of the abilities, like Stitches has a patch over his chest instead of that gaping hole in his gut.
With his guts hanging, yeah.
Yeah. So, different countries have laws about that kind of stuff, which I find very interesting. But here in America, we don't give a shit what you do.
Next game being Post Cure. This game comes out February 20th. It has a $30 price tag. This is said as a story-driven supernatural cinematic thriller. So that's kind of its own niche genre. From what I've read, it's you're like a former elite soldier. You got captured, you're being experimented on, and now you have these supernatural powers, such as like time manipulation and telekinesis. And I believe what it is you're trying to do, it's very story-driven. So you're trying to like find out who did this to you and try to get back at them.
Who done it?
Basically like a whodunit, yeah. And you have a brother in this game. I don't know how that comes into play, but they just mentioned it in the trailer. Maybe
this game's called Post Cure.
Post Cure, just that.
One word?
No, two words. Hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of these games can't be found on Steam, unfortunately. Hmm. Maybe I'm wrong in that.
Google's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'll come back to that one.
Go home, Bobby. You're drunk.
Another one that a lot of people are mixed about, Metal Gear Survive. It's coming out on February 21st.
I thought it was out. I thought people were playing this.
I don't think so.
All right. Maybe it was a beta or something.
But a lot of people are saying that this is just a cash grab because Hideo Kojima is not working on it. But it does look, actually, it looks pretty decent.
So it's a multiplayer stealth PvP?
I don't think it's PvP.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's multiplayer. It does have a $30 price tag. And from what I've seen is you create a base and you try to defend the base from zombies. Like, I thought it was like a wave survival, but it's not. It's more of like an environment survival. Like, you go around, pick up different supplies, and then you build your base and try to hold the horde back.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's, but...
Single player?
From what I've seen, it's single player. Although
single player, multiplayer, co-op, online co-op.
Oh, so it does have all that.
Who knows? A lot of question marks around this one.
Yeah, I've only seen single player footage, so I don't know how the multiplayer is going to work on this.
But the engine on Metal Gear Solid 5 was fantastic. So if
what's
using
interesting
that engine,
is also the price point that they set this game to, $39.99 for a wave survival game, where most games have this just as
a side piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
no, it does have
zombie
like,
undead zombies. What is it?
A wave survival,
Nazi
survival?
Zombies. Sorry. Oh, yeah. And then in Left 4 Dead, they even eventually implemented that survival mode for free.
But this isn't exactly like this, because this is like you do explore the world around you. There are stealth elements where you go out into the world and stealth kill zombies. It has Metal Gear stuff in it.
I would be interested in this title, but the only thing that kind of steers me away from it is $39.99. It is a co-op experience, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it could be. It does have its merits.
Gee, did you play Metal Gear Solid 5?
I did through the tutorial. I never really dived into the game.
Definitely a pretty game.
So I started the game, but I took a timeout. I think that's right around the time I kind of went on my hiatus.
Ooh, I just saw sentry turrets with legs.
That yeah, so awesome. Yeah, there are fences and barbed wire and, of course, even turrets that you can man and do like 50 cal gun down zombies. So
this sounds like one of my perfect games if it wasn't stealth. Like, I just, you know.
I don't mind stealth. I'm just really excited about the co-op element with this game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't like stealth either, but I think you can go loud in this game and just start capping zombies.
Yeah.
Like, I think stealth might just be a bonus or something.
I tried going loud in Metal Gear Solid 5. It did not work out too well.
last game being Gravel. This game's up. Comes out February 27th.
It's what we're doing under the table right now. A lot of gravel with each other's.
I don't mind. No, I'm not getting that one. I could only find a... Oh, is this one on Steam? See, I don't have a price tag for American. I only see it's $40 euro. So I don't know if that's going to change when it comes out in America. But it's your basic truck dirt racing game.
Like Monster Kinda Truck like dirt. Looking thing.
Yeah, just like Dirt.
Dirt 1, but, 2, and 3.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But
oh, it's not Monster Truck.
I thought
truck,
you said Grabble. That's why I thought
Grabble.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
what
Grabble.
Is Grabble? What's Grabble?
Yeah,
like, grabbing dicks.
Grabbing.
It's like Scrabble.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know
Scrabble
that.
With dicks.
Okay,
never
I don't
mind.
Know what that is.
I should have even brought it back up. Sorry, everybody.
So yeah, this looks very dirt-esque. Nothing really amazing about that. But if you like dirt racing games, this is probably up your alley here.
Lovecraft says it might be maybe a successor to Dirt. Maybe it's the same team. We really didn't do our due diligence on this.
There's a lot of games. Like, I started researching
the
games that came out this month, and there was a lot more
I just
than I thought.
Noticed this. I think the developer, DeGravel, is the same developer behind that Monster Motocross game.
It does look very similar. The engine might be the same, yeah. But, yeah, that wraps up our time of the month, our inaugural. Yeah, there was a lot, dude. Like, I tried to, like, even cut down games that were just complete crap, and these are the good ones.
No, I just meant, like,
this
you
is
can't
a
wait
good segment
for that time
because
of the month to end.
We don't talk about new games enough.
Yeah.
In fact, I myself, personally guilty of talking about one game too much. Oh.
What game is that?
Not just me. But if you guys didn't see this, but I totally looked over at Bobby when I said that. And so this is good. You know, we definitely need to sum it up, but I always need to sum it up too whenever I open my mouth. So.
All right. Well, there's one game I wanted to bring up that I have seen so many people playing in queue. You know, I talk about how I watch a lot of streams, Heroes of the Storm mostly, and people are waiting a long time for the queue to pop. So they always have some game that they go to before that. And all of them are playing this game called Slay the Spire.
I have not heard of this. Slay the Spire.
Yeah, I've heard of it, and I've seen people play it as well.
I wasn't sure if we had brought this up on the podcast or not, because it seems very familiar. So it's supposed to be really good. Let me just read you the description here.
Card-based RPG?
For our Twitch listeners, I'll bring it up here. It sounds like they're trying to mix a few things, which doesn't always work. But in this case, I mean, the popularity speaks for itself. The fact that so many people are playing it, like, I think says something. Okay, it says, we fused card games and roguelikes together to make the best single-player deck builder we could. Craft a unique deck, encounter bizarre creatures, discover relics of immense power, and slay the spire. So they're combining roguelikes, card games, deck building.
It's bought. It's already bought. I don't even see the fucking price tag. It's fucking bought.
Yeah.
It's sitting there on the shelf in the Steam warehouse. It doesn't even know that it's going to be cozy in my collection.
This sounds like, and when I read this, I thought of you because I'm like, this is exactly
it's so bought. The game.
And $15.99. I mean,
that's
reasonable
price. Yeah, definitely.
Reasonable. But I don't know. I'm kind of curious to check this out just because I've seen so many people playing it and enjoying it.
You can play it off of my account because it's bought.
No, this does look a lot like what's the game you're playing on when you're between matches?
Darkest Dungeon.
Darkest Dungeon.
It does look like that.
Yeah, it's got that RPG-like enemy on the right, you on the left, turn-based type of thing to it, but you're also using cards and you somehow create a deck. And I don't know the strategy at all. I've heard people try to describe it, but it's actually up there on Twitch, too. This is one of the most streamed games. We got some confirmation in chat here.
Yeah, I think it's good.
If there is a downside, I would say the graphics.
They look
could
very,
use a lot of work.
They look like Final Fantasy VII when Final Fantasy VII came out.
They're kind of like, oh, okay.
Well, not even, well.
Let me full screen.
I mean, that was 3D, and this is like cel shaded.
Well, no, it's like 3D, but it's like.
I would say more like Super Nintendo, like they're static characters.
I'm not impressed.
The graphics do look pretty bad.
They could definitely do something with that.
This is an early access. Maybe that's something. Because
like
remember how
art.
Bad the graphics were in Smite when we first started playing? And then we played today, and holy shit, have they improved.
I haven't played Smite since beta.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about that later.
All right.
By the way, I got that from, this is going back like 20 years. I talked to a friend, and we were really into this, like, I don't know, some sort of drink. I don't know. Like a new scent, Snapple came out. I was like,
Snapple?
Did you try the... This is when Snapple was, like, big.
Yeah, back
like,
in the 90s.
Dude, did you try the pink lemonade had just come out or whatever it was, right? And he goes, oh, you mean bought? And I was like, what? He goes, it's already bought, dude. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I haven't had it, but it's already bought. It doesn't know it, but it's already bought.
Dude, does Snapple not rule the late 90s? Everybody,
it did,
like, I bought cases of Snapple.
So Keurig, the little K-Cup company, they just bought Snapple and 7-Up.
Wow.
Because they sold enough little K-Cups.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like a $6 billion purchase or something like that.
Yeah. So did you know that the guy who created the K-Cups, he doesn't use them because he believes they create too much waste?
Oh, he regrets it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Move it on.
All right.
Next thing, coffee
news. You had a game that you want to bring up.
Yeah. As for games that I've been seeing other people play and have been personally interested in myself, this title here, it's called Battalion 1944. And it is supposed to be a take on a classic 5v5 deathmatch. So if you love that team-based combat, this is the next game to try. And I'm imagining it's like Day of Defeat, maybe a little Call of Duty, and
the gunplay looks awesome.
Yeah, it
looks
so amazing. Emphasis on skill shots, and I don't know what modes they have. Probably some. I don't know if it's just deathmatch or if there's any other modes.
I'm sure they will come out with modes as more people buy the game.
It what is popular. The price on this game right now? It's only $13.49
on sale for 10%.
So yeah. Strange
and it's
price
recently.
Point.
Release with mixed reviews. So this is the next game that I will most likely be playing. God. I have been waiting on a shooter that actually feels and plays like the shooters I like.
I will definitely play this with you because this gunplay looks very classic. I definitely want to play this.
Day of Defeat, right? Straight up, but like just yeah. Updated.
Yeah, definitely
updated. Day of Defeat, or, which was a Counter-Strike mod.
I don't know. Day of Defeat was 5v5 is a totally different type of combat than when you can have up to like 12, 20 yeah. people on a yeah. side. You know, Day of Defeat was all about, you know, throwing people at the line, and you know, sometimes you gain ground by a little bit, and
like
then,
10 feet, and
yeah, and then you
it,
hold
yeah.
that point,
which was huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. This seems more 5v5 is just a completely different style. But as far as the actual gun mechanics, yeah, it looks like old school shooters. I'm just a little. I don't know. I'm kind of cautious of games that try to appeal to that old nostalgic sense of shooters, because a lot of times you go back and you realize, it wasn't that great. Like, what was that? Something 2000 or Toxic, that game that was just like the 90s shooter. And it was like it. And we were just like, oh, that's why we stopped playing those games.
Yeah, as advertised. And yet you were like,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was fun for like an hour or two. But the 5v5, I think, would solve that, because that has that whole squad-based, you know, everyone has a role type thing.
I think it would be a lot of fun to play a brand new game that makes you feel like you're just playing games you know, but with new maps. Because a lot of the games that we do love, not all of them are like Counter-Strike, where they get constant updates and are completely being remade and have this strong competitive ranking system, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like Counter-Strike is really the only one in its own league when it comes to that, outside of Call of Duty. But with Call of Duty...
Well, Rainbow Six Siege.
Oh, Rainbow Six Siege? Really?
There's been a lot of work on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's actually... I meant to bring this up last week. They're charging more than when they initially released.
Well, I thought they were going to do that, and then they said, no, we're not.
Oh,
because
maybe
they put a lot more into the game.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth more, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then since it was released.
That's like...
And it... That's I don't know if it can hold a candle to Counter-Strike, but I think it looks better and the gameplay is probably just as good. It's just Counter-Strike has such a built-in audience that you can't really compete with that.
Yeah, that's true. So I feel like this would be, if anything, a nice relief from those bigger titles.
Mm.
So
we'll see.
As long as the play is fairly as smooth as all the other games.
That mixed review gives me the creeps.
Yeah. Well, what are people saying about it that's so bad?
It seems like it's severely bugged. Got some glitches, and it runs really bad.
Yeah, it looks like technical issue.
If it's technical,
so once they iron it out, it'll be good. That's what it seems like.
If they make enough money to,
I'm sure
they make the changes. You know,
yeah.
So many games out there.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to highlights. What have we been playing this week?
What's good about this week is we talked about. I mean, we played the same games, a lot of us. So, Bobby, we played Smite today. The 5.1 patch came out. There was a lot of changes. There was graphical updates and this and that. But unfortunately, Bobby and I don't play enough to like really have felt the gravity of the changes. Like, we don't play it at all, really. We played hundreds of hours back in the day.
Yeah.
But like now it's like it's almost like a completely different game.
Yeah.
The biggest thing was they changed the conquest map. There's only one conquest map. Conquest is like your main, you know, five three lane, five players.
Yeah, 5v5, three lane.
And they, it's gorgeous. It's really, really pretty. But graphically, it was a, they went with a more cartoony look for the environment. I thought it was just, I don't know. It was an interesting choice. It doesn't look better or worse than the last one. Just different. And they brought the fog back.
Fog of War is back. I didn't even notice the fog.
Yeah, there's Fog of War now. So you can't look down in the jungle very far. Like, if you go into the jungle, you can only see about 15 feet. If you have no idea what this is a third-person roguelike. I got roguelike on the brain. MOBA. It was my first MOBA, and I fell in love with it. And we played hundreds of hours, maybe 300-400 hours. We got pretty decent at it, and just one day we just stopped playing it. But so this
we
was
kind of went back and forth.
Yeah,
and
we always go back and forth. Yeah. It's a really good polished game, and it's free. Like, there's no reason not to try this. And if you don't like the top-down aspect of most MOBAs, this is the perfect MOBA. I wholeheartedly believe that.
You think Smite is the perfect MOBA?
Yeah.
Oh.
For if you don't like top-down.
Aspect. Oh, if you don't like top-down?
It might be the only MOBA now.
Now that Paragon's gone. That game was amazing. I love Paragon.
Yeah.
I like Smite, too. I played Smite in the beta, and I haven't played it since, but I loved it. I definitely thought it was a great game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good game. I'm surprised how many people played this on Xbox. Every time I tell someone about this, they're like, oh, yeah, isn't that an Xbox game? Like, that's their point of reference for it.
Oh, this coming from Twitch chat, super important. K, real talk, why does nobody laugh at Emilio's jokes after a lol? Yeah, guys.
Where's that?
Sometimes I don't. It's in there, Bobby, trust me.
You know, honestly, I think, like, when I listen to the podcast religiously, I was like, Bobby makes these jokes, but he makes it like, and everybody else is like screaming into the mic and nobody can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys don't laugh. And like, I'm at home like laughing my ass off because he made like some like dry joke that's my humor. But no, you guys.
Yeah, the mic hears.
Yeah. We don't out humor him and we don't outsmart him, but we overpower him.
If you also listen to the earlier podcast, if I recall, I used to laugh way too damn much. For like no fucking reason. Like, why am I laughing? I have nothing to say, so I'm just going to throw in a giggle. That was like my signature.
I feel like so, I do that, actually. Yeah. So maybe like I'll get over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Smite, so I knew this was going to happen. We played maybe four or five games. We lost all but one. When I played a couple weeks ago, I was like, I was obviously being carried. I could kind of hold my own. I was just playing Ymir because that's all I really know how to play. And then we like squeaked a few victories. And I was like, if I played this with Emilio, we would 100% lose because the two of us combined would just be too heavy to carry.
Yeah.
So that was a little frustrating. But, you know, the game still... It looks so much better. I mean, I wish you could go back and see. You can see old footage of this game. Like, when it first came out, the graphics were so, like, they're polygons.
Rudimentary.
Yeah. But just the whole top-down, like, I've done a 180. When I first played Smite, I was just like, you know, the top-down is not immersive. It seems clunky. I don't like it. Now I feel the exact opposite. You know, it just seems so intuitive for a strategy game or a real-time strategy game. Smite, if you're running away from people... You're running because you have no health, but you want to dodge skill shot. So you'll try to zigzag, but you can't see behind you. So you're blindly trying to use it. You can't use like your Aegis to become invincible. Like when they're about to use a big ability, just, you know, the whole point of view, that perspective is makes it very difficult to time those types of things.
I definitely enjoy playing Smite. And here's the thing. The first and only...
You always talk shit. You always talk shit. Every single time.
Yeah, because it's not better than any other MOBAs. But I still enjoy playing it. I even enjoy playing League when I was playing it. Because I like MOBA games.
I thought you hated it.
No, I love Dota 2.
No, I'm saying you hate everything that's not
Dota 2.
I just think that Dota 2 is the best MOBA that I've played.
Okay.
Yeah. As for Smite, I played this when it first came out. Haven't touched it since. This patch, this update might be worth trying it out again.
I'm down.
Have a brand new review on the game. So maybe to stop, you know, shitting on it so much.
We can do a five-man with Fastidious here.
He talks a big game and then...
he just sucks dick. He's the worst.
Oh, no, actually. I don't remember. Aeon Wire. If you want to play or if you want to learn, hit up Aeon Wire on our Discord. He knows the builds. He knows the latest stuff.
Who? What's that name again?
Aeon Wire.
Aeon Wire.
Yeah.
Like A-E-O-N?
Like Flux Aeon.
Okay. Yeah. And so, yeah, he'll play. He's on there all the time, and he's never left the game. He spent, I don't know how much money. He's like Bobby. He spent all the money on all the skins, and then he sold the account because he's like, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
So now he has a new account because he had to keep playing, and now he has no skins, and he swore not to spend any money, and he hasn't on his second account.
That's good. Pretty good. Yeah, don't need skins.
You know, speaking of selling stuff off, I have started selling off all my Steam cards. I talked about how I'm not buying any games, and I'm not buying all the bundle trash, and I'm not like really
happy with your Steam level too.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I really just don't care. I'm indifferent either way. But I'm like, you know what? I got all these Steam cards, so much stuff in my Steam inventory.
Like when you say all these, give us a, like, I have no idea.
How many pages are we talking about?
Of cards?
Yeah.
About 260.
Pages?
Pages. Yeah,
pages.
Holy. Yeah. And there's what, like, about what, 16 cards per page about?
Yeah, so, something like that.
Damn.
Yeah. So in my Steam inventory, not counting, well, counting cards, but also emojis, wallpapers, it's probably around 22,000 items in there.
You can sell emojis? Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can, but nobody buys them. People always buy cards, usually for very cheap, but if you... broadcast. Oh, God. What if that were true? I'm sorry, chat is distracting me. But I was just like, it doesn't make any sense to hold on to that because you only buy the really cheap cards and craft those anyway if you're trying to make more experience and level up your account.
Like nickel cards, right?
Yeah, yeah, the cheaper cards. So it makes more sense. Even if I were to keep leveling up my account, it would make sense to sell all my cards and then just buy the cheap ones. So, I mean, I probably won't buy the cheap ones and craft them, but I'm selling my cards. I've made it through about 20 pages. I'm on the E's, basically. You know, games, alphabetical. I've gone.
Sure.
Oh my, I've been working on this selling? For a few days. Yeah, cards always sell.
Is it What's worth cool? your time? Like, let's say you would have done a side job. You're out your money per minute.
Well, eventually I'm going to run out of cards and then I can't keep making money. But so far,
I understand. But the time that it takes to like click, put it over here, sell.
Yeah, and then I have to confirm on my phone because of the two-factor. Yeah.
Yeah. So how much time per
15 seconds about?
Well, I do it in between queues or when I die in HOTS. You know, I got a few seconds. I'll click over, click, 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 click. Yeah. And then on my phone, confirm all that. Yeah. I mean,
I guess it's worthless otherwise. So I guess you might as well.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just sitting there. It's just a pain in the ass and it's killing my hand. But so far, I've made about $50.
What's up with all this dead time in between matches of HOTS? Why isn't it just HOTS, 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 HOTS? Like,
no, it is. That's why I play quick match, and the games are pretty quick. Usually, it's me waiting on other people.
Okay, but regardless, why are the queue times so long if you're playing like ranked?
Oh, and you're ranked? It depends on what rank you're at. The queue times are long for the people who stream because their rank is so high that it's hard to match them with other people. For
me, that it's fair.
Yeah, for me, it doesn't take that long, and it depends on the time of day that
you're playing
as well.
Other video games in between of games. Of course, it's taking that long.
It's like a minute between one.
That's why you can only play certain games that you can stop, pause, alt tab out, back and forth. So yeah, it's not like I play 5 solid minutes of a game, then go back to HOTS, then go back to my game for 5 solid minutes. It's, you know, very spread apart.
What kind of money are you making?
$50 so far.
Oh, wow.
A through E, yeah. $50.
Wow. And when you think about it, a lot of us invest a lot of time cleaning out our own in-game inventories. How often do you...
Oh, yeah.
World of Warcraft, for instance. My bank... I was even in charge of the guild auction house. So
did
it was
you
just
like it?
Constantly... Oh, yeah, of course, because I'm super OCD. So constantly rearranging everything, having everything mise en place.
I could see
a place
the guild
for everything
leader
and everything
sign
in its place.
/ guild. Do we have any Asians?
No, and it was so funny because I actually got hacked once in WoW, and they just cleared house.
That
my
sucks.
Bank... the guild's bank, and I was like, well, that lucky motherfucker, but we got everything back. After I complained and kept on complaining, they said no, they wouldn't refund me anything or do anything, but in the end I kept on putting it up the ladder and I
did
got
you ever buy
my
gold
back.
Or get auto
no level? I sold
gold. Chinese gold,
sold
gold.
Yeah, I sold the gold. I sold the gold. But no, Bobby, I think it's cool that you're doing that, and you know, if you have that much shit just sitting there, you might as well and just put the time into clearing.
Because the idea was to hang on to any cards that I needed, and then eventually I would buy the set, 5 times over, and then craft it for XP and emojis and wallpapers, but you know, I just stopped caring. I figure I'm sitting on all this money, might as well start mm-hmm. selling it. It's taken a while. What I have noticed is I've come across a few cards that will not let me sell them, and I thought, oh, that's kind of weird. You know, maybe I'll try it through the Steam client. Still didn't work. And then I noticed a little message when I try to do it, and it says, this company no longer has a business relationship with Steam. Oh. So there are card sets out there that I'm assuming they're games that were on Steam and no longer are. So if you can get the emoticon or the wallpaper from that, I imagine they're pretty rare. So I don't know what I'm going to do with those yet. My only options are you can't sell them. So my only option is to trade them with someone or to turn them into gems.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like a site online where you can do that with games that are no longer available. If they have the thing for, you know, CSGO, you can third-party sell your guns. So they have third-party sell your...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a really good... I think it's like Steam... Just Google Steam trading site. There's one that will scan your inventory, scan someone else's, and tell you what appropriate trades could be made there. Okay. But I don't know. I could either craft them or turn them into gems. So I don't know what I'm going to do with them yet. I don't think there's any way to... Well, I guess if you were to trade...
So
I don't know. I really don't care. I doubt they're worth any money, really.
As of now, you're just pretty much out of like the Steam level thing. Like it just doesn't mean anything to you.
Well, I don't know. I don't at this point. But you know, me selling off my cards isn't like me nailing that's not me closing the door on this. You know, if I really wanted to level up, I absolutely could. And me selling off all my cards wouldn't affect that. Because I just buy all the cheap ones. You go to steam.tools/cards, you find out what are the cheapest ones to craft, and you just craft those ones. And there's no shortage of games with cards these days.
Yeah.
At first, it was kind of a rare thing when people were maxing out at around level 200-300. Like it was difficult. You know, there were only so many cards you could craft. Now there's, you know, how many games a week being released on Steam,
right.
And each of them has cards. So there's almost unlimited amount of crafting you can do.
For those who have no idea what we're talking about, you can raise your Steam level by crafting cards and then get an XP for that. Bobby at one time was, what's the highest point you got?
22? Top eight.
Oh yeah. Well, I can't remember what it was, but
you're ranking,
you're still in top 100 probably, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Something like
maybe.
That.
He was like,
I remember.
The highest I remember was like 22.
He was number 8.
Yeah, yeah, maybe around the top 20.
Oh,
top
20. Are you sure?
So there you go. And his Steam level is
554.
Jeez. So there you go.
Yeah. I think the highest one is around 2,000.
And the amount of random ass that he gets from this is incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's like a toilet seat.
It's unfortunate because I get, you know, 20 friend requests a day on average.
Really?
So people, yeah, on Steam. And my friends list is almost always full. But people who actually try to friend me, like if I've ever ignored a friend request from you from Steam, that's why. Because I just go to my request, clear. You know, it's like taking out the trash. It's like emptying the recycle bin for me at this point. Like every day I just go in, clear out whatever friend requests I have. So if,
and not just that, it's also made games buggy for you. With the games that implement
Rocket League, if I have my friends list loaded, it lags.
Was that the only one? I feel that it would happen on a bunch of games.
Well, it happens in games where I have to form the group. Like if I have to search my friends list and send out invites, it's really problematic.
Cannot compute.
Also, if you have a chat window in Steam, you can click the little button to see what emojis you have. Yeah. If I do that, it crashes.
We tried that live and it crashed.
Yeah.
The other game that we both played was Dead Cells. I talked about it last week at length.
That game is awesome, dude. My new favorite game, honestly. I love Dead Cells.
I'm right there with you, dude. If I had one complaint, it would be that I don't think people like watching this. Maybe because too much is going on and you're moving too quick.
Yeah.
But
no, it's hard to tell what's going on. As someone who just watched you guys play, you know, it looked like a side-scroller game, and I couldn't really see what was so special about it. I mean, I know it's a good game. Everyone has said it is, but mm-hmm. I'm just missing what it is.
You tell
them. Never my type of game.
So
I tried to tell them last week. It didn't work.
But it's a 2D side-scrolling hack and slash roguelike. And the combat is just so fluid. Like dodging, blocking, and attacking. Like you can do it all. Like once you play an hour of this game, you feel like you're a god.
Yeah.
Like, just dodging through attacks, perfect parries, getting weapons and items. It's just everything about this game, it just reminds me of like the old like Ninja Gaidens, but more stuff to do. It's extremely difficult, like as roguelike should be, but like it's probably you're lasting 5 to 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, but your lives don't last long. And of course, there are, as you said last week, reoccurring attributes. You build up your level and you become slightly stronger each time you play, but it's like so minuscule. It takes a while to get good at this game.
Right, but it doesn't matter. Game? Go ahead.
Have you guys beat this game?
No,
dude.
How
we're
do
not
the
even
levels
close.
Play out in terms of progression?
They're randomly generated,
right?
But they're also, you see the same segments. It's kind of like Lego pieces, and every time you play it, the Lego pieces are put together differently. So it's never the same thing, but it's always familiar.
Right. It's like the first level is always the dungeon. The second level, like every level, it has two branching paths. You can take the first level, you can either go to dungeons or the promenade, and then from the promenade, you can go to like the sewers or the ramparts.
The ramparts,
like,
yeah.
There's always like two paths, but to get to like the harder path, you have to unlock a certain ability. So if you're first starting the game, it's pretty linear. But once you get an ability that makes you, you can grow vines, you can go to the second level, which is the sewers. So every level has a second branching path that's always a little more difficult.
Like he's claiming, we haven't done that yet.
And
that's
no matter
what,
you're always able to unlock that second path?
Is there anything that
happens that restricts you,
you need the ability.
From progressing?
So, yeah.
you have to go back and farm the ability in order to unlock that next
level. Well, to get the ability,
you
need to
beat a boss, right?
Beat an elite.
Yeah.
So the elite is actually harder than the boss, I think. Elites suck, man.
Yeah, they're really
so
hard.
So depending on what map spawns, they will always have the appropriate elite, so you're able to unlock the
elites are also
ability.
Random, so you can go through the entire level and not find the elite.
Yeah.
So if you don't find the elite, then you just keep going. And I think it's like as you get more powerful, that elite will spawn. So
Bobby, the closest game we could say, it's very close to Rogue Legacy, and I would hate, I know it's going to come out, there's going to be a guy who beats this without unlocking anything. because that happened in Rogue Legacy.
Okay.
Have they speedrun this yet?
I wonder if they haven't looked for it. I'm sure they have, but
if
GDQ
comes out, I wonder if we'll see it.
Yeah.
But the art style reminds me of Mark of the Ninja. Have you guys played that?
Yeah, I played that, yep.
I think it's like the art style is like that, but less.
Well, Mark of the Ninja looks more animated, like hand-drawn.
Yeah, it is, but I believe like that cap right there. It looks very Mark of the Ninja.
I see squares in this. Like, there's a lot of jagged edges.
There definitely are pixels. It's more pixelated.
Mark of the Ninja looks like Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what that is?
Well, very smooth edges. Yeah.
I didn't
know
what Samurai Jack is, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure it's good. It's just these aren't my types of games.
We love it.
Yeah, and roguelikes aren't my thing, but I love the action, definitely.
Well, Miriam, you were saying you haven't played this with a controller yet.
No, I've been playing on the
keyboard. Do you think it's going to be easier on a controller?
We'll see how you can play with a keyboard.
I think it would be easier with a controller.
It says highly recommended at the beginning.
From controllers.
I was too lazy because I was like, I got to get the dongle, and then I got to go get this. And then I was like, oh, the pink controller. And I made it as far as the steps. I put it on the steps, and then I never took it upstairs.
You know,
that's how lazy I am, guys.
You can blame me for that one. But also, I feel like, for this game, you already like it using the mouse and keyboard. I imagine you would love it even more using the controller.
Well, Emilio sucks with a controller, though. He does not have experience.
Really, you should see me play with a controller.
Oh, my God.
I got to look down to see what is the buttons.
But you beat Cuphead.
That's true.
You did.
See? So you're just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, Mini really is the new Chad. He's the controller guy.
He is. Now we just need him to yell at everybody.
In time.
I noticed you were playing some Subnautica.
I was, and I'm really excited that I listened to your review and decided to pick it up and play it myself. Everything you said about it was true. How them releasing the story really enhances the experience for Subnautica. Mm-hmm. I've played, I would say, maybe a total of 6-7 hours into the game, and my first 30 minutes was probably the toughest time that I had with this game, not necessarily because I feel like this game is challenging, but when you start out with virtually nothing and you are very limited in terms of the amount of oxygen you can hold when diving. You don't really have much guidance, and the story unravels itself through these radio messages And I'm not sure when, if it's time based or I don't know how the story unravels. I don't know what progresses
mostly through voice logs. And I'm okay. a little confused about the story as well. It's kind of difficult because you find voice logs and you find recordings and distress calls and all these things. And you have to kind of piece them together to build the story. But if you happen to miss one, it's always been the problem with voice logs in video games. If you miss one, you're missing a part of the story, then something else doesn't make sense. So, I mean, that's unfortunate. And I'm kind of curious as to, because I've reached a point in the game for, this isn't a really big spoiler, but there's dry land in the game.
Oh.
And when I saw that, I was like, oh, holy shit, I didn't know they had this in there. And then as I explored more on dry land, I found something that I'm not going to spoil. I'm like, oh, this is where this is going. Like, I was very surprised. Mm-hmm. Like, this game gets
Did you
weird.
Stream that, Bobby?
I watched
it. Yeah. Did you stream that portion?
No. Yeah, but it gets weird. Like, they take it to a really strange place, like, that I did not see coming, and I was very pleasantly surprised. But
that's cool.
Yeah, the voice logs, like, when I'm on dry land, I'm finding these voice logs, and they've got, like, plants set up, and, like, they're farming and everything. I'm like, how long have these people been here? Are these people from, like, my ship? Because I felt like I just crash-landed. Like, maybe these people were here before. I'm a little confused as to this story. Like, I might need to go to the Wikipedia and kind of fill in some of the gaps there.
Yeah. This game does make you feel very alone, mind I add. Yeah. You are in this entire planet filled with creatures of the unknown, yet anything human-esque it breaks your heart, really. Yeah. But this game is so much fun. Once you get into the rhythm of how it's meant to be played, it took me a little bit to kind of figure that out. I had to go around, really just kind of look at what I can build and then pick up the materials. Sometimes I would be in areas that I wasn't meant to be in yet, and then that would bite me in the ass and waste a lot of my time. It's a lot of fun, and I do plan to beat this game. Where I believe Duck was telling me he beat the game in 35 hours, but this is the type of game that you can play at your own pace. If you want to spend an entire day just exploring, go ahead and do that. If you want to just treat it like a simulation where all you're doing is building on your like sub home, then you could do that too. And then, of course, from what I can tell the story, it unravels out to be something bigger than what you think it is on the surface.
This game, keep playing it, Chi?
I am going to keep playing it. It's a lot of fun, and I keep on saying it again. It's one of the best-looking games, first-person games I've played in a while.
Yeah, really, VR support, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Although someone was saying last week that the VR is not that great.
That'd
it seems
scary.
Like a great game for VR. Yeah, it is very frightening. I mean, the game looks beautiful when you're in certain areas, very tropical. I love the design of the fish. Like, they have this peeper fish that's just one big eye.
That's
like,
my favorite. I love the peepers.
They've got the bladder fish.
That's like, all I eat. I only eat the peepers in this game. Yeah,
well, the bladders you can turn into water, too. You'll need that.
Big, juicy peepers.
They have two modes you can play. One is a little more difficult than the other. Like, one you have to eat and drink in order to stay alive, but they do have that more casual type of play if you want. Mm-hmm. But I've just reached the point of the game, and it took me forever, where I can actually start base building, and this game totally takes a turn at that point. Mm-hmm. Then it totally turns into, like, I don't know,
it gives you a lot of purpose.
Yeah, and it's come so far from beta. When I played this in beta, you could build a base, and they had a lot of the parts, but now you can build all these different ships, all these different rooms, all these different things inside your base. So I'm excited to get started.
Just in case you meet your mermaid wife out there.
Yeah.
Because you are very, very lonely in this game, that I add.
You have one vote for I Only Eat the Peepers for the title of the podcast.
Yeah, but Subnautica, $24.99, worth every penny.
It is.
Great game.
Lovecraft Plays says the VR implementation is very limited, but the devs say that they are going to work on it and to make it even better. They want to finish the main game first. That makes sense.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
Play to your strengths and get that money.
Yeah.
And I hear in the very beginning they used to say they were going to implement co-op, but they definitely wanted to focus on the single player story, and the game isn't coded for co-op. So even though at one point they may have promised it, it seems much further down the line. Mm-hmm. But from what I hear, the single player experience is so good. Can you really blame them for putting all their, putting all the emphasis on that versus co-op?
Yeah. I don't even mind that it's not co-op. I mean, that's a huge thing to add to a game.
But yeah, for me, it kind of, in terms of single player, and it could use a co-op, but it necessarily wouldn't be better with a co-op. I'm thinking The Sims. Mm-hmm. But with Subnautica, I feel like a co-op experience would be exactly what it needs, outside of beating the game on single player and having replay value. Because you could play this co-op with somebody else, more than one person, and have a completely different experience each and every time, different purposes.
From a game design perspective, I could see how a lot of people would want that, but just narratively, I feel like that would just go against everything.
That's true.
You'd probably be outside of the narrative, though.
Yeah, I mean, you crash land by yourself on an island, and the whole thing kind of screams you're alone, you have to survive.
Maybe a co-op mode would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a mode. But that's a lot. Remember,
yeah, co-op is
so much. When I asked Chad, who's in game development, said that, like, how much of the percentage goes into multiplayer? He said 50% of a game's development goes into the multiplayer.
Damn.
Think about that.
That's a lot.
That's making two games.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's not just, let's just add some multiplayer. Especially for, it's a small developer, I think. This might be their only game.
Unknown Worlds Entertainment.
A very unknown developer.
Yeah, all right. What else have we been playing?
I just want to mention some things that have eaten up a lot of my time. Last week I had a lot on my plate, so I couldn't play video games. So I went through an entire season of Ultimate Beastmaster. That's a
I love that show.
Yeah, it's a obstacle course racing game on it's a game on Netflix, and you could just watch people from different countries compete against each other, jumping through a giant dragon.
Just like Ninja Warrior?
It's exactly what it is. Okay. It's an updated Ninja Warrior, where I've watched so many seasons of Ninja Warrior, and I don't know why I love this so much, but I do. But this season, the announcer was really bad. I don't know why they didn't bring back Terry Crews. He did a really good job last year.
They need to bring back the MXC guys.
Oh, yeah. They're so funny, dude. MXC is when they make fun of Ninja Warrior,
yeah,
right?
Basically, yeah.
It's just kind of like a spoof, but they're not doing it live, but it's hilarious. Anyway, I liked it, but honestly, you could just go to because they just release it all, right? Because it's Netflix. You could just go to the last episode and get all of the action and because that's when it really counts, is the people that make it to the end.
Yeah.
So you could just skip to the end and watch the last episode. Altered Carbon came out. That's Netflix's new cyberpunk big sci-fi show. They put a lot of money into this, and it shows. It's very pretty.
I've been looking into it. Is it pretty good?
Yeah, I like the first episode. I'm halfway through the second episode, which I enjoyed a lot. It has a lot of throwbacks to Blade Runner, which was also cyberpunk.
Yeah.
It's going to be the next show that I am getting into. I recently got into The Expanse through recommendation of my chat
on Amazon,
Twitch.
Right?
And it's on Amazon Prime. Yeah. The first season for free, the second season for $30, which I have not purchased yet.
Wait, so even if you have Prime, you
have to pay for the second season.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's a really good show, though.
There's probably a way to watch it for free, but I've yet to discover it.
It's
amazing sci-fi. It's an amazing sci-fi show, and since I'm kind of stuck and not knowing how to watch season two for free, I might switch over to Altered Carbon.
It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. This is just a weird thing. Maybe it's us getting old, but we have to put on subtitles, even though they're speaking English.
No, that is like a necessity for me whenever I watch anything at home.
Yeah.
And it's ever since I got into anime. I can't watch anything without subtitles because there are so many little things
that
are missed over, and unless you had subtitles on you. And it's harder for me to grasp the full storyline unless I can read through it with the movie.
I'm starting to agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't watch with subtitles. I actually like missing things. So when I watch it again, I'm like, oh, I missed that thing.
That's too much good shit to watch a second time.
You're probably right. Because
Somebody said we're in the second golden age of television. Hmm. Like, I don't know what the first one was. I Dream of Jeannie.
Definitely.
I don't know.
So big news. I recently got my girlfriend, Aja, into Firefly. So she's never seen it before.
Really?
And it's like my favorite show ever. So she's I haven't even heard of this. I'm like, oh, well, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, I did that too. Drink, I hope she likes it.
So
if she doesn't like it, dump her.
No, yeah, she likes the first episode, so she's so far good enough.
as a huge fan, what did you think of the movie?
It tied up what it needed to tie up.
It did its job.
Yeah,
it was there to kind of conclude the series. Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
It was the what they had to do for the fans. basically.
Bobby, yeah. I mean, Chad tries to make everybody watch every person he ever meets. He tried to get Sam to watch it.
Yeah. So do I, yeah. Man.
I love sci-fi is one of my favorite type of genres to watch when it comes to movies and TV shows. And after the Expanse, I'm going to convince Max to get into Battlestar Galactica because that's way up there.
That's pretty nerdy.
My totem pole of sci-fi.
I couldn't get into it. I think I started in the wrong spot or something because it didn't make any sense.
Well, because here's how it can get very confusing. They have two season ones.
So there you go. Oh.
So the first season, Battlestar Galactica was an original, I think, 1970s show.
Yeah.
And they remade it in 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
And when they remade it, they remade it as a miniseries. So it was only two episodes long, but each episode was basically the length of a movie. And then when they released... And then they released the seasons after that.
Right.
So they call that miniseries season one. And they also call the continuation season one.
And do you need to watch that two-part one before
starting? In order to kind of really understand everything.
Sense.
And that's probably why. You were probably... Because if you watch season one, episode one, it starts with previously on Battlestar Galactica. And you're like, the fuck? It's like, is this broken?
Do I got to go back to 17... or whatever it was?
2003, I think, instead of 2004.
No, I mean the original one.
Oh, no, not at all.
I've never even seen
anything about 1970s.
I get what she's saying, because sometimes like people will go and make a web series or something, and then it'll get picked up for episodes. Now, what's canon?
Oh.
Like it happened to Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat, some just dudes like us put together some episodes, and they got some money behind it, and then they have to start over when they put it on TV.
I did not know that happened.
Yeah, that did happen.
All right.
Or got close to being put on TV. Now I really got to make a drink. Okay, talk about something boring.
They Are Billions.
There we go.
So I finally beat They Are Billions at
100%. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You guys want to sit down now.
Oh. So here's the thing, though. I finally beat it at 100%. I was really happy to beat it. But for some reason, it was not as gratifying because I felt really noob. I was like... I finally beat it at 100%. It took me at least over 20 hours of gameplay to get to that point. I think over 30. And it was such a big thing for me, but in comparison to what everybody else is doing, it's such a small step and a milestone of gameplay that you can play with the Obelians. And they have these weekly challenges with different maps, and it's its very own RTS community too. I want to play it. And I want to continue to challenge myself even more. And because even though I beat 100% and I was so diehard on getting it done and it was challenging it enough to do it, I still feel like I am only on the tip of the iceberg in terms of different ways to play this game and different ways to challenge myself. Bobby, have you played this yet?
Have not.
I really want you to play it.
I know.
It's so difficult. It's frustrating. You said you beat it out 100%.
I beat it on 100%, but with pause.
Yeah, and with pause. I mean, you need to. Like, I mean, I need to. We need to.
When starting out, most definitely.
But there are people who are playing at 500%, not pausing, and it's just like makes you feel like a piece of shit.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And like, all you get when you win is like, hey, you win. Yay.
Yeah,
that's it.
Like, this is your point score, you're playing at the arcade. Point score don't really matter to me because I've never been, unless there's like even with PUBG's rank, certain ranking systems, I do not care. I think the only ranking system I ever cared about was Counter-Strike.
Yeah,
Counter-Strike, that's it. So this one here, and you can kind of, and I know the community, they compare points and they, especially with the weekly challenge, they're trying to see if they can top the leaderboards with it.
Now, have they hinted at a release date for this game yet?
I haven't seen one
beta,
like an actual
I don't know, but they did do a recent patch that implemented abandoned buildings where you can find a building and activate it instead of having to use the resources and build it yourself. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm gonna move on to map 2 and I'm going to up the difficulty even more.
To
maybe map 2 is already inherently more difficult.
Yes, but I still want, like I said, I beat it at 100%, but I don't feel that good about it.
Yeah.
You know how you try really hard and you win like a bottleneck scrim and like where it's, 13, 14 and you just, or like 17, what is it, 17, like you have to beat by two,
yeah,
Counter-Strike, you have to win by two rounds when you're like neck and neck. And it's just like, it's like you get all the gratification for all the hard work you put into it. Mm. With They Are Billions, I put so much hard work into it to only feel like I'm a piece of shit, like a shiny turd. By the time I beat it, I was like, oh my God, I got to do more. I got to do better.
That's what makes champions.
Yeah. And that's how I play games. I like games that challenge me. So, but Subnautica is the perfect game to alternate with They Are Billions, because They Are Billions, you're not getting anywhere unless you set aside 4 hours. That's basically it.
This, we might even want to bring this up. Like, I used, before the podcast, I'd always say that I'd want three games that I bounce between because they complement each other so much. You want like an online first person multiplayer, i.e. Counter-Strike or TF2. You want an RPG, and then you want an MMO.
I don't know if I'd split it up by genre. It's more how the game makes you feel. Like, I need a relaxing game, I need a competitive game, and I need, for whatever mood I happen to be in, you know, and that can be any genre, really.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because he's like, yeah, I am. Because, like, you can have your stress-inducing games, and then you can have your stress-relieving games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good
and
to have.
Those ones are, like, good to play before bed. Like, I know I mm-hmm. can't have HOTS be the last game I play before bed.
I don't.
With me, too, there are times where I need my fix, and I will install a game for 8 hours and then just never touch it again. I do that a lot, and if not all the time, with The Sims. And then I always attempt to replay a lot of RPGs I've never beat, Dragon Age being another one of them. Mm. Every time I go in, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you know, I can't wait to play.
Dragon
I'm gonna
Age
get through this. Or no, Dragon Age 2. I haven't beat Dragon Age 2 yet.
Oh, gotcha.
But I beat Origins, which is amazing. I couldn't put that down after starting it.
2 is known, I think, is the worst one, right? Do you like it?
I think Inquisition was the worst one.
Inquisition, I think,
it got Game of the Year.
I played all of them.
People.
That's like, so weird. I played Inquisition 5. Without beating Dragon
it's
Age
so
2.
It's so weird.
Awards don't matter.
You beat Inquisition, Chi?
No.
I haven't either.
I played. The only one I beat was Dragon Age Origins.
Okay.
And then everything else one. I've played enough to kind of get the gist of it.
Hmm. Bobby, do some hosting.
All right. Minnie, you've been playing or watching Overwatch?
I've been watching because I haven't been at my house for like the past week. But there are two things that I want to talk about Overwatch. First is, if you have known three things. Now think about it. Seoul Dynasty has lost their second game.
Mm.
They are.
Yeah, you told me about that.
They're no longer the
matches, right? Not games.
Matches.
They're losing matches,
right?
Okay.
Well, maps, you know. But what I'm saying is, they have lost to Spitfire, London Spitfire,
and that's probably my fan favorite team. I mean, I'm that not fan favorite.
That's
your favorite
team.
Yeah.
But tell us, why are they your favorite team?
Because the first and only time I ever started watching OWL, they were playing, and when I saw the name London Spitfire, I'm like, okay, you know, English boys playing Overwatch. And then the entire team walks out, and they're all Korean boys. And then my uterus goes, ooh. And then I'm like, oh, little Asian boys. I love them.
It was so it was so funny because she was like, oh, my K-boys are playing. My K-boys. Like, so, she was like so mothering.
London Spitfire was the first K-boy team that I encountered, and therefore I just stuck with them.
It's so weird. Like, what?
I'm pretty loyal. I'm pretty loyal when it comes to, like, if I make a selection, I'm sticking to it.
I understand where you're coming from. Like, nobody is from where they're playing in.
Right? Yeah, no, I know. We talked about that, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. But also, on top of that, like, how do you pick something brand new, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you gravitate towards colors? Do you gravitate towards proximity to where you live?
Yeah.
Do you gravitate? Because a lot, when you talk about NFL teams, it's usually hereditary. Like, my dad was into the Vikings, so I'm into the Vikings.
Yeah.
Vikings fan too?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh.
It was my stand-in. I could probably name 10 teams.
Well, why did you have to bring that up? Because that's the only reason why I don't care about the Super Bowl. Because
they're not playing?
Yeah, because any team I would have cared about
got. I didn't know who was playing until this morning.
Really?
Only because I wanted to put money on it. So I asked my friend, like, what's a good bet? So we'll see. But anyway, so Bobby, do you have a favorite OWL team?
No.
Not yet? Or do you not plan on having one?
No. I mean, I enjoy the fact that esports is doing so well with Overwatch, but I just, you know, I don't play Overwatch, so I'm not into it. And I follow the HGC, the Heroes of the Storm competitive league so closely that, like, that's my niche right there. So I have my favorite teams in that.
Okay, how did you pick your favorite teams there then?
Personality, really. Just like, oh, that guy, I watch his stream all the time. I really like his play. And the players bounce around from teams a lot less now that they have the HGC.
And when you say still, personality, you don't mean like game body language. You mean like what he says when he speaks? Like a real personality or a game personality?
I don't know, I guess I just think of it.
What is HGC?
Oh, as both one person.
Heroes Global Championship.
Oh, is that what you were?
Yeah.
Were HGC, you watching that before?
Yeah, I was watching it before the show while you guys were playing Dead Cells. Yeah, HGC is basically OWL except for Heroes of the Storm. But yeah, you know, it's basically the people that are on the team. Like, oh, these guys, you know, that's the old Cloud9 team. They won back in 2015. And so, you know, I kind of like them. But really, I don't have that much loyalty. It's hard to in a game that has no... like OWL has, region. They have towns and they have regions.
So. How are the teams in HGC? Are they like Cloud9 and things like that?
Yeah, it's based off sponsors, but they have changed it a little bit. Like there has to be, I don't know. They had some weird rulings, so some teams like lost sponsors and now they own their own team and basically they're holding out for more money. But yeah, it's all sponsor based. Cloud9, Fnatic, Dignitas, the usual.
Okay,
yeah.
But I like what OWL did a lot.
They're trying to mimic actual sports, physical sports,
and I think
sports
to their benefit. I think. I'm not even
that's
into
what
Overwatch.
To bring people in, I think that's a good move.
Wait, do you have a favorite Overwatch team?
I like a San Francisco Shock. Okay. I like how Shock goes with Earthquakes because of San Francisco. I like their colors. Like,
yeah, they got like orange,
just
right?
makes sense.
Yeah, they're orange and white.
And then their symbol is a shockwave, an audio shockwave.
Yeah, and it sounds good. San Francisco
Shock. That
looks
like the San Francisco
good.
Bridge.
Yeah,
I think you pointed
it
out.
Yeah, we noticed that when we were at the OWL. I was like, that San Francisco Shockwave, it looks like the Golden Gate Bridge as well.
That's
so
all,
yeah, it like all works together.
And if they do well.
Isn't it so funny how we assign our loyalties and yet some people stab each other over teams? Like, you go to like a Dodger game, it's like, you look out if you're a Padres.
Well, not talk about like fucking football.
Baseball, not so much.
But soccer hooligans?
Oh, my God.
Go to war.
Yeah.
Go to war.
Oh, that's so.
It will send
they're there more for like fighting each other than watching the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know if like esports will ever reach that point because people, well, nerds aren't that
bunch
aggressive.
Of geeks, yeah.
I'm not a diehard esports person, and so my fandom is topical at best. So I honestly support virtually any team that gets to do it professionally.
Or is filled with Korean boys.
No, not really. It's just one of those things where I'm excited for everyone. The fact that they get to make a living doing what they love.
Yeah.
Doing what they do best, it's amazing. That's why it's hard for me to really just be like, oh, you know, team A versus team B. You know, they're all winners in my eyes.
Wow. Yeah, before we start talking too much about esports, I want to add one more thing. Is you remember Chi? I was telling you about Pine. He's on the New York Excelsior and how he's just going to destroy everybody with McCree.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, this guy, he's known as like one of the best DPS players, if not the best DPS player in the game right now.
He's got a lot of swag for a K-boy. He was like the most hipster-looking K-boy I saw out there.
Yeah, and he was very charismatic. He had really cool-looking hair. A really cool person as well. But he's pretty much known to be unbeatable, like, in the DPS. And he lost his first map. Like, every map that Pine has been on, that map has been won by New York Excelsior. So he just lost his first map to Dallas Fuel, who's actually one of the worst U.S. teams right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was pretty amazing, but...
Dallas Fuel, oil.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look see? At that. Hey. I'll be here all day, guys. I'll explain it all.
Which was a big thing because, I mean, Dallas Fuel being a shit team and them beating one of the, like, the most prominent teams on...
fucking Eagles,
a
dude.
Capture point. Like, capture point being, like...
Salt. Just throw the salt.
So Pine is always on the maps that have, like, a... two spawn points and one capture point. So they're both fighting for the same capture point.
Mm-hmm.
And Pine is just like, he's a god on this. Like, he doesn't miss shots. He has like some like a 60% shot rate, like hit rate.
With McCree, which does so much damage.
Yeah, and he can just destroy everybody. But yeah, he lost his first map ever in the OWL League to Dallas Fuel.
If you guys are tired of us like talking about OWL, just go check it out a little bit if you haven't checked it out yet. It's pretty fucking cool. They do a really good job over there.
If you're hearing us talk about it, why would they go check it out?
Yeah.
Because they're tired of us because they don't they haven't looked into it. If they've looked into it, they'll probably see the credit that it deserves.
Yeah, and the commentators are getting progressively better at what they're doing, like the shoutcasters. And the last thing I want to talk about is Overwatch is the Lunar New Year. Year of the Dog is coming out for Overwatch on February 8th. I believe that's going to be a Thursday, this coming up Thursday. And that's just going to be like new skins and new emotes. You know, basically, if you play Overwatch, you know it's coming. It's just going to be another event coming out.
Yeah, they do the same thing in HOTS too. New skins, new mounts, usually some sort of in-game activity.
But it's better in Overwatch because people care. All right, let's keep moving. Yeah.
All right. Last game, We Were Here. So we talked about We Were Here 2 coming out soon, but the original game, Chi, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I played it for about 30 minutes, and it was 30 minutes of me and my friend leading up to our eventual doom. Well, mostly him. So when you start in the game, it brings you to this cutscene where you're a part of an Arctic team and you encounter an abandoned castle, or supposedly abandoned. You get knocked out and then you wake up in separate rooms. You have two different jobs. You're either the librarian, which is who I was, or the explorer, which is who I played with my friend Nick.
Wait, it's only two player?
Core gamers. Yes, it's a co-op voiceover game. And me as a librarian, my responsibility was to basically, from all the clues that we had lying around, guide him to survival. Because my life wasn't being jeopardized. Mm. I believe his life was being jeopardized since he was the explorer. So the first part, it took us a while. It's really funny if you want to go back and watch my, what is it called? Vodcast? Not vodcast.
The last stream.
Replay?
Stream claim?
I think it's called a VOD. If you go back and watch the first section, basically we never figured it out. He figured it out on his own. He's like, thanks, you know. It's like, I got this, didn't need you, Chi, after all. So that was hilarious. And then we got to maybe, and then as you get through a certain point, doors opened up for me as a librarian, and he would be in a different room, I'm supposing. I don't know what's on his end. And when the doors opened up for me, there were different clues to where I can help him survive and we get out of there. He ended up dying, though. He ended up drowning to death. And then that was that. And that was 30 minutes until we lost. It didn't take long. So I'm going to go back, do it again. I want to beat the first game so then I can move on to the second game, which I already bought. And the first game is free if you guys want to try it out.
So the first one, if people don't want to, it's up to one player, two players or more?
It has to be two players and you have to have voiceover. I didn't use the in-game voiceover. It was actually really shitty. So we just jumped on Discord and did that.
They shouldn't even have it anymore. Like, why even take any time on programming that, even if it's simple, just...
Well, doesn't Overwatch have that?
Well, that's the emphasis of the actual game.
What?
The game itself is a puzzle solving, you know, help each other
that makes
beat
sense.
The game.
They needed it.
Help or hurt each other in a way. It's funny because if you watch the trailer, they basically say it's a great way to ruin friendships. I mean, yeah. Okay. It's pretty funny.
But the second one is up to four players, I believe. Many? Do you remember?
No, I've only seen two
I think
players.
It's only
I haven't seen anything about any more than that.
All right. Cool.
All right.
Bobby says.
Should we move on to news?
Yep.
All right.
I'll just get the ones that I put on there. The counter stroke. That's funny. I didn't put that on purpose.
Well, I know what you're
so goes
of.
Into this. The counter stroke co-creator arrested for
sexual.
Wow, I'm terrible.
Sexual.
Sexual exploitation of a child.
Exploitation.
I didn't read the full article, but I don't know.
I read the article. I read the full article on this one. The co-creator, I forgot his name, but he basically, him and one other person modded Half-Life to create Counter-Strike, and he was recently arrested for sexual exploitation, and they didn't actually release any details. We don't know anything about it, but Valve did sever... it's not firing someone.
He's on like probation.
Yeah. It's something like that.
They're waiting until something
happens. They cut almost immediate ties and which I think they should. That's pretty fucked up. And if it's as serious, it could be anything.
Suspended him.
Yeah, they suspended him. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just nice to see that they reacted that way. It's not nice that he even has those charges on him, but, you know, sick people are out there.
Yeah.
And moving on.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but sexual exploitation of a child. So that means it was probably consensual, but she was probably underage.
No, or it could be anything. I think this is child porn.
Oh,
and probably like prolific. That's the way I read it.
Anything.
It could be anything.
I guess we haven't released details.
Anything.
We really don't know.
But here's the thing: he hasn't been convicted. He's just charged with it right now, right?
Yeah, he's just charged.
Okay. Gaming is so giant. Of course, there's going to be creeps. There's so many people are involved in it. It's a huge, and then it just kind of makes.
And that's in any industry and in the entire human population. There are some real creeps out there.
And if you look at a picture of this guy, it's funny because he looks both like a child molester and the child that was molested.
So like Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Exactly.
Gigantic final update in January, and they're closing the game in July.
What?
Yeah.
I feel bad for this game because I really felt
like it just came out not too long ago.
It did.
It barely did. They had to like fire people to barely make it. Like this has been in struggle the whole time. I felt like this game was a little engine that could. It just kept it no matter how many struggles they hit. But no matter. And now they did have the final release and it just wasn't enough. Not enough people played it. I enjoyed it. Me and Chad had a good time. I've said Chad more than I've said me. Maybe I miss him.
You definitely have a huge man crush on this guy.
Yeah.
So I actually know one of the artists for Gigantic.
Oh, he's both know one of the artists then.
Oh yeah.
What's his?
The art handle? Was one of the strongest points.
Yeah, definitely the art. When I say friend, I mean just more of an acquaintance, I should say.
No, I just know him because the TSL artist knows him, and whatever. That's it. I don't actually know him. I think I interacted with him once because we were in the same Discord, but that was it.
So you guys sad about this? I mean, we're not playing it. Like, if we really wanted to support this game, we'd be
obviously
playing it,
right? Nobody's playing it, right?
Yeah. I never played
it. It's not a bad game.
It was on my list of games to play because, like I said, my close... The guy I actually played We Were Here with, he was friends with Gigantic, was almost brought onto the team for Gigantic, and because of that, I was like, okay, I'll definitely play this game, but then that ended up falling through, and it looks like the game itself is falling through.
I was going to play game like when it was first released in alpha, early alpha, but it was at that time a Windows 10 only release, so I couldn't.
Sucks being poor, dude. All right, moving on.
It was a free update. Don't.
PUBG map tries to fix unpopular map.
Yeah, so I didn't.
Mexico?
What? Did I write that wrong? Did
PUBG
I
fuck up? PUBG map tries to fix unpopular map?
Yeah.
PUBG map?
Yeah.
Tries to
am I fucking up
here? Yeah. You said
so map. The map's
twice.
Trying to fix the map.
Oh. God damn it. All right. Anyway, Miramar, their newest map. I didn't know this. I knew people didn't like it, but I didn't know it was to this extent that people were going to their files for PUBG and erasing it. So every time that it would load, it would kick them out. So every time they, because you can't pick your map. It's randomly.
Yeah.
It's random. So anytime it would load that map, it would just kick them back out to the.
Well, that's a smart way to go about it.
Yeah, I guess, right?
It's like a backwards way to just basically shut it off when they should really see this as a fix for the system and have them. And then just implement that into the game.
Well, this is their way of boycotting that map completely, right?
Yeah.
So
I didn't realize it was so unpopular. People don't like it?
Yeah, I didn't know they didn't like it this much. So the big problem, I guess, people were saying was, she said this the first time we were covering this, is how untraversable? How would you say that? Anyway.
Traversable?
All I said it was really hilly, very bumpy. Yeah. I can't drive straight. And especially when you're playing first person, I love playing first person.
Yeah.
And when I was playing Mexico in first person, I was literally getting car sick driving the damn car. And it's weird because, so I had to jump in the passenger seat and stare up at the sky because I was getting motion sickness
from
playing the game.
But
and I don't usually get motion sickness through gaming. You know how a lot of people who are like, oh, I can't play first-person shooters.
Yeah, that's Sam. You're doing Sam right now.
Sorry, yeah. I'm not one of those people. Yeah. But in first-person mode, Mexico?
No, it's really rough.
Really but why fucking Mexico? Horrible.
Like, does the other one, if you're in a like a motorcycle on the other one, do you not get...
I've never been on a motorcycle, I don't think. If I did, it was only on... I might have stuck to the road.
Gotcha.
But there's not enough roads in that map.
So, either. Yeah. So they put more roads, and they put roads over going over, like, really hard to traverse mountains. And so there's more connections, so there's less fucking craziness in that aspect. The other problem was there wasn't enough buildings. Like, in between the little towns, I talked about this the first time we talked about it. It's, like, desolate. It's just fucking desert. And so when you have an engagement, it's usually a bullet going through your head because you're getting sniped from... Who knows?
Whoever has upper ground has the advantage.
Yeah, and you don't see it coming because you're playing in first person and you're just running across the desert. Imagine, it's just so rough. So anyway, they put a lot of shacks. There's no shacks in it. Remember in the other map, there's shacks. At least you can get a gun or maybe some bandages or something. So now there's a bunch of shacks. There's a bunch of little things in between. And there was one more thing they fixed. I forgot what it was. But those were the two major... Oh, they upped the amount of loot in certain areas. So there was places you would go and it was just crap all day, every day. And now those places have been upped on how much loot they get. So it's more dispersed and how good the loot is. So, yeah, so all good things, you know, they're working on it.
And I actually did play a lot of PUBG. I played Overwatch actually. I didn't bring this up. I played Moira. That's it. That's all I want to talk about with that experience. And
so
then
you didn't play Symmetra?
I think I played one round of Symmetra. That's it. I played that's awesome. I played one round of Moira and I'm like, yep, I'm going back to all of my old heroes. So I'm not having fun. Symmetra. It's like the fact that I'm even playing Overwatch is like hard enough to get me to do that. And then playing a new character that I, you know, just to get like the, just to see how she plays. But then after that, I was like, I have to play the heroes I like. And then I played PUBG and I was tilting pretty damn hard. But I finally got a chicken dinner and then all was right with the world. I've been dying to blue a lot in PUBG. I hate that the blue takes so hard.
They upped the damage, right?
Yeah, they did.
Oh my God.
Watch out for it now.
I hadn't even started drinking when I made these fucking headlines. King of Kings. It's King of Kong. is the documentary. The guy Billy Mitchell largely 50% of the movie is about him. It's all about the highest score on Donkey Kong. Anyway, he's been kicked off the official DK rating rankings. Yeah, because he was not playing on original hardware. He was playing on like what sounds like an emulator, which might be a little more forgiving.
So like an old school emulator.
No, he was playing on MAME, which is an emulator. But the thing about that is you can't, when you're reviewing that, you can't verify save states and things like that. So you could make a fake replay by patching in parts. So the fact that he said, this is on the original arcade machine, it got reviewed less critically than it would if it was on the emulator. So that's why they're revoking it. But I'm sure that among these people, there's a lot of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nitpicking?
Nitpicking. They all know each other. They're all very competitive with each other. If you've watched a lot of these documentaries, King of Kong being one of them, then you kind of understand what that environment's like. So I don't know. I'm surprised they actually pulled this, but I guess I understand it's a technicality. Why they did. That documentary, they really paint him in a negative light. And I'm sure he's done some shady things.
He flicks his mullet, dude. As soon as somebody flicks a mullet, you're done. You're the bottom of any barrel you might happen to be in. That's it. You can't flick a mullet. He walks in and he goes,
okay.
That's funny.
Now, he was also the king of Pac-Man, right?
I know this.
Yeah. He's like the top scorer. Like, he gets
a
level.
I don't know if he has any high scores now. And if you watch King of Kong, it's incredibly outdated. I mean, that guy, Steve Wiebe, I believe his name is, he's going for the top score. I mean, that high score is long gone. There's like 10 people above him.
King of Kong?
Yeah, King of Kong. But Billy Mitchell, he had a lot of records back in the day. Like, this was one of the kids back in like the 80s or the 70s, you know, back during the arcade days that set a lot of high scores, but he's just been kind of a figure in the scene until then or after that and hasn't really had a whole lot of high scores. But
is it better than being the 97-98 two-time world champion for Blockbuster Video? Nobody watches Dr. Disrespect. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I know what you're talking about.
He won both of those two-time champion.
Mr. Two-time.
Yeah, Mr. Two-time.
Two-time champion of Blockbuster Video.
Yeah, video game champion. Mm.
Yeah, he's coming back soon, isn't he?
Yeah, February something or other.
Yeah. No, yeah, actually, I think
yeah,
he's
speaking of
back.
Which...
Tomorrow?
Yeah, Dr. Disrespect comes back out tomorrow.
So by the time this podcast is out, he'll be live.
I never watched him, and I probably still won't.
I watched his clips. I never watched him live, but he's funny as hell.
I wouldn't want to start watching him just because of the controversy surrounding him and his wife.
Yeah.
I never wanted to watch him before. I definitely still don't want to watch him anymore, like any more now than I did previously.
I got you.
I appreciate that he manned up and said, I fucked up. I'm focused on my relationship with my wife. I'm taking a time out, but I'm still not going to watch him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Like a male that's popular and has money cheated on his wife. It's like the tale as old as time, right? Like has anybody like, famous not cheated on their wife ever? Dr. Martin Luther King, most of the presidents, like the list goes on and everybody.
Every NBA player.
Yeah. If you have money and you're famous, you cheat on your wife.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it's by law now.
Oh
I'm not saying that it's okay.
That's depressing for all the women in the world.
Well, it's easier to do these days and it's easier to get caught these days too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All right. We want to do listener questions.
Yeah, sure.
So.
Yeah.
Do we have an option? Like, what's the other thing we could do?
Just want to end here. That's it, guys. Have a good night.
All right. First one coming from Shadow Master. Question for the podcast. What GPU is better for gaming, the Zotac 960 or the NVIDIA GeForce 1080 Ti?
Is Zotac a brand?
It's an NVIDIA card.
Oh, is
it? So he's talking about a 960 versus a 1080 Ti. Well, obviously the 1080 Ti is going to be a lot better in that situation.
It's like $1,000, isn't it?
Yeah, well, if you can even buy one right now. I'm not sure what the state of graphics cards are. The 960, you'd probably have an easier time getting. And, I mean, for the games that you're playing, you may not even need a 1080 Ti. Those take a lot more power as well to run. I mean, I don't know.
It depends. It comes down to how much money you have and what kind of games you're going to be playing, really.
Yeah.
You can buy a... Yeah, so Fastidia says a 1080 Ti is about $1,500 right now, which is right because of Bitcoin mining, which we covered last week. But you can... I saw this. Alienware selling like their Aurora, which is their base model. Complete PC, ready to go. You don't have a monitor or keyboard or any of that, but you get the tower... And it comes with a 1080 Ti. You can get that entire thing for $1,400.
What?
Yeah, including a 1080 Ti. So it's almost like you could buy that thing and sell the card and still like keep the hardware.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Is anybody using AMD cards to mine? Or is
Dude,
strictly
what a strategy.
Originally, they started doing that. AMD cards, for some reason, were better for that for some reason early on.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe because they were just cheaper and they were using them in bulk.
Yeah, I can see that.
But now I think it's going to power because the newest, the 10 series is so power efficient that they're using them now.
Yep. All right, next question coming from Sniper. All major game companies are drug dealers. What do they look like and what drug are they selling?
I'm going to go with my favorite one here. I'm going to go with Bethesda because I like them so much and they do such good work and everything that comes out. I hardly even recognize that I play ESL so much, Elder Scrolls Legend. Elder Scrolls Legends, the card game. It's another Bethesda game. I love everything they do. So I would say that what they're pushing is Black Tar Heroin.
Really?
Pure,
Bethesda?
Unadulterated. Yeah, Bethesda. It's the best. Pure shit, or let's call it Angel White. I don't know, just making up words for drugs that I've never done.
See, if I was going to
China White,
Bethesda into a category, I'd say shrooms because something like you just chill, relax, and enjoy the experience,
like the trip. Yeah,
Who relaxes on shrooms though?
Well, you're right. I mean, it's something that you don't want to be doing something with.
It's literally a trip, though. That's
you just sit down and you try to relax. It's kind of like you don't do something while you're on shrooms. It's like shrooms is the thing you're doing.
And I'm not speaking through experience. I'm actually like the most drug-free person here. Mm. Not alcohol-free, but definitely drug-free.
Yep.
So Bobby's alcohol-free. I'm drug-free. What are you guys free of?
Not STDs.
Free of cares? I don't know. Pretty chill. What would you guys classify EA as? Because I'm sure that's what he wants. He wants an answer for EA.
That's a publisher. It's both now, but it's mostly a publisher now.
Well, let's just say EA.
All right, EA.
Whatever drug dealer sells drugs to little kids.
Yeah. Oh, everyone man. Else hates.
Right, yeah, definitely. With that all Star Wars thing. Yeah. It's the whole huge gambling.
EA is General Mills, just so injecting kids with sugar.
Sugar is like considered a drug pop. By the FDA.
Yeah,
so
yeah sugar is that. A drug, yeah. For sure.
Yeah,
that's perfect. That is perfect.
But what was it? Oh, so on Star Wars, I just read today that they're not selling enough copies, so they're going to be putting the microtransactions right back in.
Yeah, they sold 9 million instead of the 10 million. Yeah. Like, I mean, when they pulled out the microtransactions, like, these will be back, guys, so yeah, be ready for that.
They said they were going to come back.
And now they're coming back, and everybody's like, the fuck?
I feel like EA can also be your local... I mean, like the hospital system where they give out OxyContin, like it's nothing. And then, you know, then you become like addicted.
Pharmaceutical company.
Yeah, the pharmaceutical drug dealers and then get everybody addicted to Oxy.
I'll give you another one, guys. Revolver Digital. They do all the indie games. There's not one that I haven't liked, and they've all been weird. So I would say that's shrooms.
Can you name one popular one? Because I don't know. Evolve the Digital.
They publish plenty of shit, dude. They publish anything.
But everything that I've played.
So like Hotline Miami is an example.
So there's one. How weird is that?
But
game?
There's a lot of
heavy bullets.
Not good.
I haven't played any, but I'm sure they're out there.
That's a roguelike, though.
Yeah, it's a roguelike.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next up, Atrocious asks, are you guys planning on going to BlizzCon again this year? If you are all going, what's your plan?
Is BlizzCon always held in California?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always at the Anaheim Convention Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although, maybe they'll have it at their thing this year. No, it's not
that
big.
That place
enough.
Isn't really that big.
No, yeah, dude, that's a TV.
If you guys go, I'll go. Unless if... I don't think it's going to fall on my birthday. I turned 30 this year in November.
Oh,
I'm not upset. I already feel 30.
Actually, I feel like 31's a bigger milestone for me than it was 30. Because like
guys hate turning 30.
20 losses.
I've
virginity.
Never met a dude who was turning 30 and was excited about it. I think they become even more depressed at that point.
Well, for me, it's like I'm just turning 30. Like I'm new to 30s, but when I'm 31, it's like I've been 30 for a while, and I'm like more than just a new 30-year-old. I've been there. So.
It doesn't get any better, guys. I had to break this to you. You guys just...
Familio.
Like every single year. When my grandfather...
What does 50 feel like?
Yeah.
Somebody put it in great...
I don't know, dude.
And Fastidious in chat right now, he said halfway to 60. Somebody put it in great perspective, because when I was talking about my age, because for female Twitch streamers, I'm actually way up there in the age totem pole, probably like the top 10%. In terms of like older female gamers.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so old. But then they were like, old, you know, if you live your life over again twice, you're only 58, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. My mom's not even 58. So I can't really be that old. But in comparison to the Twitch female population, I am grandma status.
And you act like that too. Like you're very mommy.
Yeah.
When you're
I'm very
streaming.
Much like I try to offer advice. You know, I'm like, hey, you want?
And I think that's what a lot of people gravitate.
A
lot of people gravitate towards her because you're so like open and personable.
Oh yeah,
like you're just not like a cute, geeky type of girl.
Nah. Have you smelled me today? No, just kind of.
He just tried.
Bobby,
Stop right there. Don't.
I was looking for the question.
Don't say
again.
That.
I feel like we got distracted there.
Wait, what?
BlizzCon.
What was the question? BlizzCon.
Are we going to BlizzCon? So I absolutely am going to try to go to BlizzCon.
Tickets go on sale
twice.
What's the average price?
$200 $200 if you can actually get a ticket.
I thought it was like $350.
Is that like a
$350 if you can't get a ticket?
$350 if you buy it off of like eBay from someone. $350, $400 probably. But yeah, if you buy a ticket directly from Blizzard, you have two opportunities. They usually go on sale early April and then maybe like early May or late April. Two opportunities. You get in line and it's kind of random whether or not you get a ticket. I will be trying to get a ticket that way. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. If it doesn't, I don't know. Maybe eBay will figure something out.
Yeah, but it's $200 for the weekend fast. He's saying, geez, that's a lot. But it's for the whole weekend as far as convention goes. That's
and
like,
if you get an Air, I would love to get an Airbnb with you guys. Maybe we can have a DLG house at BlizzCon.
It's like there's no houses around there, right?
Yeah, it's right next to Disneyland. There's
it's all industry, basically. It's hotels, and there's no.
I mean,
houses.
We're going to be driving up there anyway, so what does it matter if you rent out a house? That's it didn't true. Seem yeah, like it was like the house day. That I rented.
It's nice to walk to your hotel. Like somebody got a hotel right there for like super cheap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if we can get that. Well, anyway.
Yeah, but a house with a pool, dude.
I'll go if it's free.
House with a pool. And you can make a mess and not really worry too much about charges.
Yeah.
And a full-size fridge and kitchen versus.
That's true.
You know.
We'll talk about it if I go.
Okay.
I'm
just upset that I missed out on this last BlizzCon.
So if you're going to BlizzCon, how much time are you spending in the hotel room or the house, though? That's the thing.
Yeah, 8 hours to sleep and then gone, right?
Because I was at that super shitty hotel and it didn't matter to us. Like,
no.
Okay.
Just a place to sleep.
We're there for like
8 hours.
Dude,
I would have after parties. Let's just go again and have BlizzCon after
parties. The after party is
at the hotel.
Yeah, at the hotel.
Oh, really?
I'm totally down to go.
Never mind. Okay. I did it wrong, guys.
Okay, next question at the Try Hard Face. I think he's got a two-parter here. How much stuff are you going to do?
I think you missed Sniper's question, though.
What?
Did I? Oh, yeah. I didn't space these out correctly. Let's see. Sniper asks, does anyone on the podcast get 7 hours of sleep?
Or more? Because I generally get like 7 or more every night.
Yeah, that's not going to happen when you get older, too. You guys are complaining about getting older. Get ready to not sleep in long periods of time ever. I don't think I've slept... Like the last 5 years, I don't think I've slept like a solid 7 hours. 7 hours is like the perfect amount for me. Like if I can get that cumulatively in a night, like I'm good.
Yeah. Wow.
If I get more, then I'm a little groggy. If I get less, then I'm cranky. So 7 is like the perfect number, but it's hard to get that consecutively.
Like, yeah, you get up to pee, right?
Yeah, get up to pee or just something happened. And you're like,
I went from sleeping through the night every single night. I have to get up to pee. Every single night.
What, really?
This happens after 30.
Yeah. No, I didn't know about this and it started happening to me. Yeah. I mentioned a million. It's like, oh, yeah, that happens.
You
talk to any guy over like 35, like, oh, yeah every night.
You guys are scaring me. I don't want to.
It was a question. I was watching some stupid game show and it was a question like, how many times do you, what's the one that Steve Harvey does, the game show?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Family Feud.
Family Feud. He's like, how many times a night do you get up to pee? And the guy's like, you know, you're supposed to guess
like
what the average
two.
Person yeah. answered in a survey. And the guy's like 2 or 3. And I'm like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like 1 a night right now. I can't wait till 2 or 3. Holy shit.
We have to stop drinking at 5
p.m.,
man.
Because I have the exact opposite problem than these gents have. It's impossible to get me out of bed. If I have absolutely no incentive to wake up, I will sleep 14 hours.
Good Lord.
And not get up to pee. Sam's I never get up to pee. Nothing in the middle of the night wakes me up except to, like, I have very violent night terrors, except to, like, punch my boyfriend in the face on accident.
In your defense, he deserved it.
Dream version of him deserved it. That's right. Not real life version. I feel so bad. I wake up apologizing to him.
Lovecraft and Fastidious here are giving me hope because they say I'm 36 and I've never gotten up to pee in the night.
You know what 36 is? It's not 39.
Yeah. And then the thing with me, too, it's staying awake. It was one of my strengths. Staying awake at night was one of my strengths. Hence, I'm a bartender. Mm-hmm. Even when I was younger, but any energy in the morning is virtually impossible for me. Yeah. So when it comes to my sleep schedule, I don't really have one. It's very inconsistent. I will either sleep anywhere from 5.5 to 6 hours, or 8 to 10 hours, depending on the day. Like I can't even tell you how much sleep I get.
This is anecdotal. But I've slept with a lot of women, and they all are the same way. They just can sleep until you wake them up.
Yeah, I'm like
if
a
there's
rock.
There's nothing to be done.
Mm-hmm. If I'm passed out, you could like masturbate in bed next to me. I will never wake up. It's like one of those things.
I think my girlfriend averages like 5 hours of sleep, and then she just gets up like refreshed, like 5 hours. Like, hey, let's do something. Like, fuck you talking about? No, it's
wait. So morning. She doesn't. She won't sleep a bunch.
Like, yeah, she's like 5-6 hours. That's it.
Wow.
She's like, hey, get up. Like, we're doing something. I'm like, no, I'm still sleeping until 10 o'clock. Time up.
You got a winner there.
No.
tell her not to wake you up and start cleaning.
Way too early.
All right. Okay, now Epic's question here. Two-parter. How much stuff are you going to damage and or steal in the riots that will happen when we finally find out Red Dead 2 isn't coming to PC?
So I don't have any... anything to say about this because I ain't played the first one.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people.
Well,
liked
see,
it.
Here's the thing because if you're a PC gamer and you've been that way for a while, you never played the first Red Dead Redemption.
That's
so if it doesn't
thinking.
Come out, I'm just, you know, I really don't care.
That's isn't it
exactly
just
how I feel. Yeah. If Red Dead doesn't come to PC, it sucks. But at the same time, this is a console game we're talking about. Yeah. If you really want to play this console game, play it on console. I am a diehard PC player, but I've owned virtually every single generation console since the original Nintendo. So, actually, I have, outside of the current gen systems. Yeah.
Neo Geo?
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
The Neo Geo?
Oh, no. That console? No, I haven't.
Okay.
No. Come on.
I had to pull something
out.
I had to prove you
wrong.
Well,
anyways, but we're talking like mainstream consoles here. So, it's one of those things. If the game is really that great, and yes, the game is really that great, then play it on console.
What, Red Dead? See, a game could be amazing and I still wouldn't play it on console. That's how ardent I am about it. It's not a good thing. It's not like I'm saying like everyone should do this, but like it could be Jesus fucking Christ in a video game. And like I'd be like, oh, it's console? Nah.
Yeah.
I have no affiliation with open world games in general. Like I play them a little bit. Like I played all the Elder Scrolls, but I've never had a great time with them. And as far as the new Fallouts, like I just kind of like main quest it, like main vein the game and like just speed through it. I don't really care about like all the side quests. So Red Dead being the same thing, a whole bunch of side quests, a little bunch of mini games. I don't care if it doesn't come to PC. I'm not going to play it.
It was a very
way.
Popular game at its time, but you know times have changed. So yeah, who knows if the sequel.
I'm the only one that actually cares about this game. I'm ecstatic about it. But if it doesn't come to PC, I could care less because if it is strictly just console, I will be playing it on.
Plus,
console.
There's so many fucking games. There's so
but
much good shit.
No, Red
out
Dead
there.
Is really good, guys. Like it's just one of those.
It's GTA
games.
On a horse.
Have you played? Have you played Borderlands?
I've played it on PlayStation 3.
Isn't it a GTA on a horse?
Basically, yeah. It's the same open world.
Well,
thing.
Yeah, you haven't played it. That's.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of suspicious of when a game is very, you know, Destiny, for an example, very popular.
No, it's
on a
nothing
console.
Like Destiny.
I know it's nothing
Please
like
don't
Destiny.
Compare Red
but
Dead
I'm just
to
saying,
Destiny.
This,
moving on.
This is
it's
the
like
third episode we said
like,
we're never going to talk about
the
it again.
Shit out of GTA 5. It's like that.
No, it could be any game, but when people say, like, oh, this was an amazing game on console, I'm like, yeah, maybe for consoles, you know, and I'm making a very mean face right now.
But they make really good games on consoles too, guys.
Sure.
Sure.
I'm just talking about the particular title this itself
I mean,
being a good game.
When something is so like brand new and revolutionary, it's already been done on PC like 8-9 times. So it's kind of hard to get excited about it. Except for like GTA, which is like straight to console and then eventually made it to PC and it's doing okay on PC.
Well, if it only comes out on console and doesn't come out to PC, I will give Red Dead 2 fair
review. It's been confirmed
review.
For PC, right?
Yeah, like that's, it has been confirmed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like officially confirmed.
So, weird question, Epic.
Majority of us don't care.
Okay, here's the second part. Thoughts on, this is unrelated, but from Epic Tryhard Face as well. Thoughts on overclocking CPU or GPU? Any of you have any experience? What kind of gaming gains or hardware damage did you get? I've overclocked a lot in the past. I've ruined perfectly good hardware. And in some cases was able to get it covered by the warranty, even though that's not covered by the warranty. You know, you gotta work the system.
What software do you use for that?
For EVGA, they've got a really good nifty little piece of software called Precision X.
It's built in, right?
Or do you have to download it
off the website? Yeah, that's what I've used before.
Yeah, they actually have it on Steam as well. It's in the Steam client. You can get it from there. but overclocking is a lot easier these days. And honestly, I don't do it anymore. I try to get the most life out of my hardware as I possibly can. And overclocking will reduce the lifespan. Maybe not by much. You know, back in the day, it didn't matter. I was rebuilding my computer every 2 years. So who cares?
Right.
But nowadays, I don't know. I don't know if you really gain a lot from that as far as like graphics go. There just isn't as much of an emphasis on it.
I agree, because when I overclock, I get about 15% maybe increase in my frames, and I only do that if I'm not getting 60 frames.
Yeah.
And generally, if I'm not getting 60 frames, I just lower the graphics settings. And I'm running a 1070 right now, so there's really not a game out that I can't run 60 frames on at least medium settings.
And games would be dumb not to come out being accessible to everybody. That's like where they start now. Most games you can play on a super old rig.
You know what's funny, though? The website that I always recommended, I think I recommended it last podcast, systemlabrequirements.com, where you type in Google, can you run it? And it runs your system specs against the most popular games and or virtually any game that has been released on PC. Even classic games you can test run your computer on. They put the stats of how many PCs pass that that users have run through, and PUBG got less than, like, I think 15%. Overwatch got less than 25%. So all these people with computers out there, we are the minority in terms of, like, people who have the buying power and PC gaming capability to play these games on computer. Like, don't forget that the majority of people are still console pushers and or have computers that can't support future games.
I saw that the most common card on Steam is a 1060. And I guess you're not really pushing pixels at 1060, right? Or how good is a 1060? Is it better than like a 970?
Yeah.
For sure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you should be able to play everything.
That's a decent card. I mean, you can run a lot of games, maybe not at super high resolution or like.
I think you play everything, just not. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say.
You would have to downgrade the graphics a little bit on some of the bigger titles. But yeah, I don't know. There's lots of overclocking software out there. You guys were mentioning Afterburner. That's another one. And overclocking, I remember the days of trying to overclock every part in my computer and having to run Prime 95 for 24 hours just to see if it's stable. And, you know, those were the days, but I could never do something like that again. And for me, I'm all about stability. And my computer isn't even stable right now. I get crashes and hots. Actually, it's been pretty good lately since I stopped overclocking my monitor. Now, I've got one of those monitors that can go to 165 hertz.
That's
I put it back
crazy.
To 144, a lot less problems.
Can you tell a difference?
No.
Between 144
and 165?
Anyway?
Just because I could. Overclocking for
Same
you.
Same thing with mine. So what was the process of overclocking your monitor?
Oh, it's built in. Like, they advertise it. Oh, you can set this to 165. So you go into the OSD, the on-screen display, and you set it in there. It's
same thing here. Like, mine is 80, and then you just go 100. That's it. Done. It's weird. Why isn't it set at 100?
Yeah, I don't know. But for me, stability is just so much more important. My computer runs 24/7. Like, I never turn it off. It's constantly running. And when I play games, I just don't want them to crash. That's my number one priority. I don't even care too much about the graphics, but then again, I'm primarily playing one game. So if I were playing more, it might be different.
Yeah. Cricket Soldier.
Yes. Down there. Cricket Soldier asks, what do you think about this soon to be released game, Metal Gear Survive?
I think we covered that already.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked quite a bit about that. Oh, he's got another question here. Why does Sniper tag me 3 times a day?
Cause he loves you, dude.
Sniper tags everyone 3 times a day.
It's a fun community.
Which is second place to
Sniper is really pro at Discord. Like, he knows how to be active and communicates well.
I appreciate him keeping the conversation going.
Yeah.
But he's still second to Shadow Master, who tags people 4 times a day.
All right. So Sniper asks, whose Diplo mug is the best and who would Mini get on his?
And I like Bobby's Mini. The best.
Yeah, like Bobby's is a funny one.
Bobby's is really funny.
I do like Bobby's.
That's why.
Definitely.
Mine's just offensive and crude.
You buried the lead.
That suits me so well.
When we were going over, I think we definitely should have waited for Bobby because he has the best one. We were like, oh, what's Bobby got on his? Because his, like, definitely gets the laughs every time. It's binary because Bobby's a robot. If you haven't been listening, his girlfriend's also a hologram. And the reason we know that, or we suspect this, is because we've never met her. And all pictures we've ever seen were green screened.
Yeah.
Like, for fact, green screened.
Yeah,
so.
Photoshopped.
Yeah. Exact same pose, too. Super weird. Might be a cardboard cutout. Maybe we're giving him too much credit.
Pretty much if you did a reverse image lookup on her, she's, like, engaged to some football star. I'm kidding.
This reverse.
Yeah. Gotcha. You know, like they do on Catfish?
Like, you get a picture and then you could, like...
Bobby has catfished us the entire time with his girlfriend.
It's the long con.
The long con.
All right. Well, that's it for listener.
Well, what would
questions.
Mini get on his? I guess second part of that question.
So his response when Sniper asked was, "I don't have any funny quotes yet." I think that's perfect.
Which one?
I don't have any funny quotes yet.
Oh.
Yeah. But that's me. Until he comes up with something better.
We always say that, and it never happens. Until we come up with something better. Yeah. This podcast is named off of that. Until we come up with something better.
Yeah. Let's just go DL Gaming, and then until something comes... Nope. Never happened.
4 years later, here we are.
Oh, well, I have a question, though. Something that I asked you off stream, and you actually didn't answer.
Oh, yeah.
Where did the titties thing come from?
I listened to a lot of Adam Carolla back in the day.
All right.
And he always signs off with Mahalo. And I always just thought it was nice to, like, do something the same
happen
thing.
Outro,
yeah, sign out and probably thing. At the time I was trying to be different and crude.
Yeah,
I'm not even like a big, like, I'm not somebody to say, oh, that car's tits. Like, I actually don't even like when people say that, but
do people still say that though?
No, but
I'm
they
pretty sure
to.
Somebody out there, yeah, still says that.
Oh yeah, for sure. He's older and he has a beer gut, but he does still
and
say
a mullet.
That. My beard, yeah, and he flicks it.
And he flicks and he the says, mullet.
This mullet's titties. And
flicks this it. Mullet is tits.
Tits, yeah. So, yeah, I was just trying to be different, and it kind of stuck. I've tried to, like, move on. There was a couple times where I was, like, sick of it, so I tried to change it, and just, like, the overwhelming feedback of, like, losing the tits was not okay. So,
oh, yeah, I do remember that.
And then when we brought Chi on, I was like, hey, I do this thing with tits. Like, I don't know. She's like, no, I don't fucking care.
Like, I don't care. Yeah.
So that was
cool.
Why
don't you go shit on your dick? I don't give a fuck.
Just as long, okay. as long as you're doing it standing up.
It's a good thing the mugs are already made.
That's the new episode title.
Shit on a dick.
I'll shit on your dick. I don't care.
All right. Okay, Shadow Master, I know you're trying to squeeze in a last minute question. I could tell you all about the Puppet Master series later, though. I've seen plenty of those movies. But let's close the show out.
This is your... No.
We don't do that. We say, what are we doing next week? Yes. And I'll start it off because...
Is this your first podcast? No, wait, guys. Hold on, I know.
I forgot that I'm the host here. On sale right now is, what is it? It's like Ziggurat. Immortal Redneck has been on sale for $11.77. I've been hovering that buy button, but again, I'm only going to buy something if I'm actually going to play it.
Right then.
But, you know, with all this lucrative money I made selling off my cards, I think I'm actually going to buy it. So Immortal Redneck, it's pretty much a first-person shooter roguelike. I think that's going to be my game that I'm going to play this week.
As for me, my list continues on with They Are Billions, Subnautica, and I would hope to try out, and We Were Here. And if I do branch out and try a new game, it would be Battalion. I said it right. 1944.
Chi, are you streaming?
Yes, I am streaming, guys. If you haven't noticed, I've been pretty active on Twitch. Consistent on my days, but not consistent on my start times. Mm. You will definitely catch me Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. And then also, did I say We Are Billions? I thought I said They Are Billions. Anyways, and then Saturdays and Sundays, it's flexible, but most likely I'll turn my stream on.
Yeah, and I'll definitely be playing more, what was that game called? I can't even think of it right now. Dead Cells.
Oh, yeah.
That's like really the only game I have access to because I'm not at my house for this week. But, yeah.
How are you playing it remotely?
My laptop. My laptop can run it.
Oh, gotcha.
So, yeah. Bring that where I am. And, yeah, definitely be playing that. I can't think of anything else that's coming out soon. I mean, I've already listed the games that are coming out in February. And nothing's coming out this week that I'm interested in.
Cool. I'll probably be playing that game. What's that card roguelike, Bobby?
Slay the Spire.
Slay the Spire and more Dead Cells for sure. You're going to be hearing a lot of more. Dead Cells is a new They Are Billions.
Yeah. It's going to be here a while.
Yeah, it's going to be here for a while. And I can't say, guys, go
or
buy this game right now.
The New Binding of Isaac, right? Dead Cells is the New Binding of Isaac. Let's be real.
It might be. It's only been a week in, but yeah.
But I can't recommend it for everybody. If you're not into roguelikes, if you don't like dying a lot, nobody likes dying a lot. But if you don't like incremental gains, I guess, then... It could be frustrating, and you could throw this away right away. Tons of people, just based on this podcast, I know probably 50 people bought Binding of Isaac. Of those people, probably 5 play it. But of those 5, they're addicted. So if you're not into roguelikes, I can't recommend it. But maybe if you're into Metroidvania. I just saw that they advertised themselves as something called a Roguevania.
So it's a new genre. Even if you're not into roguelikes, because I'm not.
Yeah.
But if you're into like action hack and slash, play it.
Yeah.
I love those. Like, that's my jam. Yeah. 2D hack and slash, and I don't like roguelikes, but I love this.
And we didn't talk about it too much, but going back into Dead Cells, your high points weren't my high points, but I appreciate the points that you said. And then I think you like the pikes that I like.
Definitely.
And then you're having a completely different experience than I. You play it completely different than I do.
We definitely do.
You have different Shrats. Unlocks that I have. And we're both about the same spot.
Right.
So it's like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we're going about the game differently, but we're pretty much like even in our experience with
the game. And it's in early access. So there's only, it could only get better from here.
Definitely.
Hmm. Okay.
And this is where you finish it off, Emilio. Yeah.
But we should plug the website here, dlgaming.net. You can find all our links there. Support us on Patreon. Buy some merch, stickers, shirts, whatever you want. You can get it.
We're also on Instagram and Twitch under digital_logic with a K. And we always post on our Steam community, DL Gaming, that we are going live.
Yep. So, speaking for Bobby, Chi, Minnie, and myself, Dead Titties. Bye, everybody.